about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hi, welcome to Boobers, where we got a double D from the health department.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hey, Carson, it's your mom. I read the sickest thing. Two men took mushrooms, you know, hallucinogenic mushrooms, and one guy ripped his friend's heart out of his chest while he was alive and ripped his tongue out of his face while he was alive, his heart and his tongue. And then he baked it or something in the oven. It was just sick. And he was like, oh, you know, I fucking killed my best friend. So don't do mushrooms. Anyway, bye.
Who does that? Who behaves that way?
Your story is a beautiful story. From my point of view, it's a beautiful story. I love your story.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
My nipples are so hard.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Obviously.
Roll another one.
Well, I think we all can agree on the fact that
just
you.
Like the other one.
That's not a theory. You just made that
this
up.
This one seems to be about to quit.
All I can think about is sausage.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
We could write a strongly worded letter.
Roll another one.
Wow, I really like penis.
Just like the other one.
Gosh, this don't sound like my program.
This one seems to be about.
How do you think the Clippers are going to do in the NBA?
I don't have another cent.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
Unbelievable. Just pass it around.
Chicks and midgets, bam.
That's not brown rice.
And now,
fun to think that behind every pretty face is a skull that will shriek in a box for millennia.
Our feature presentation.
All right, party people, welcome on into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Friday, the 10th of the January. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello, Bean. Good morning. How are you feeling?
Where's the monkey?
A little late.
Is the monkey on the phone?
Yeah, we got
is
him on the phone.
Don on the phone?
Don is on the phone.
Is Don on the phone?
He is.
Hey, the monkey.
Good morning.
Hey, what's happening? Nice little accident on the Gen Freeway. I may have to turn around and go back home. I don't see a way out.
Lisa, what's he up against there?
I don't know. He's just making it up. There's nothing. No, that's not true.
How dare you?
That's not true. There's two lanes blocked, East 10 around National Boulevard.
All the lanes were blocked until just about 5 seconds ago. Okay. But should I come in or just go home? Or
I don't know. It looks pretty bad to me.
I don't think the whole day is lost yet because you hit a little traffic on the way. And I think there's still
bad traffic is, Bean.
I think by the time you get here, you'll have 45 minutes or so on the air before the show's over.
No, I'm saying the freeway right this second is fully open. But is it worth me coming in?
Because you are like 4 miles away still.
Yeah, it's 1 mile away, but yeah.
It's worth you coming in. Actually, I'm glad you're on the phone because there's something that we need to talk about. I generally, when these stories come down the pike, I generally like to save them, collect them, and then put them all together in a feature we call Bean's Death Corner. But in this case, the audience insists that we don't wait. I get this story emailed to me sometimes several times an hour this week.
Wow.
From people who want us to talk about the atomic wedgie. So I feel like we need to get the atomic wedgie on the air and out of the way.
They're playing Saturday night at Coachella, right?
As a matter of fact, they are. Now, this won't surprise anybody. I've never been involved in either side of a wedgie. But I guarantee Kevin has given wedgies. I'd put $1,000 on the fact that you've given wedgies.
I can't fully believe that any human being has never been involved in either side of a wedgie.
Well, look, you know my memory. I mean, it's certainly possible, but I have no awareness whatsoever. I was listening to a guy on the radio yesterday who's in his 60s, has never been involved on either side of a wedgie.
Well, that needs to happen, both for you and him.
How many wedgies do you think you gave growing up? Or maybe you're still giving. I don't know.
Gave and got? I lost count.
It's popular, right? Wedgies are popular.
Yeah, I mean, you pick somebody up by their underwear, and trust me, Bean, even with your memory, if it happened to you, you would remember it.
Yeah, yeah. Now, it's got to be very much out of fashion now. I mean, this is the type of thing that would certainly fall under the bullying classification now. I mean, you'd get expelled from school if you gave a kid a wedgie today, probably, right?
Yeah, it's a sad, sad day.
Well, the atomic wedgie, just briefly, I can't imagine there's anyone who hasn't heard it, but it's very much in the news. There's an ex-Marine whose name is Brad Davis, 33 years old, and he killed his stepfather by giving him an atomic wedgie. Now, an atomic wedgie, of course, a regular wedgie is where you get up behind somebody and you pull their underwear up. And what's the point of it? What is it you're trying to do? You're just trying to make them you can say mother effer. You could say that.
That's so, changed now, too.
So the atomic wedgie is where you pull the underwear up so high behind the man's back that you then are able to wrap it around his face. Now,
what?
I'm trying to understand, Kevin. This is why I needed you on this conversation. What underwear can do that? What underwear either does it fall apart or rip? What underwear is big enough that you can actually get over somebody's head by giving them a wedgie?
I honestly can't imagine.
Have you ever heard of the atomic wedgie before this story?
No, not wrapping it over your head.
Your head. And then, of course, it's tight. It's over the top of your head and on your face. So he ended up dying of asphyxia. He suffocated because his own underwear went up his back, over the top of his head, and over his nose and mouth.
In the list of ways to die, that's way down there.
That's not what you want in your obituary. That's right. For sure.
Well, the odds are greatly against it.
Choked I would on his think underwear. So. It'll say on his headstone, choked on his own underwear.
and does it only work with tighty whities? Is that the only way you can make a wedgie work? You can't do a wedgie with boxers, or can
no.
you?
No.
I think if you pull any item of clothing that is around your junk high enough, you can cause pain.
You can do some damage, yeah.
Sure.
By the way, a little research on wedgies here this morning. I found out that, of course, obviously, wedgies are dangerous. We're talking about a guy who got killed by one. Here's an incident in 2004 involving a 10-year-old boy who was given a wedgie. He had to have his testicles reattached to his scrotum because they were cut off by the underwear at a wedgie.
Holy crap.
God, I'm going home.
Popular variations of the wedgie besides the atomic, there is the hanging wedgie. Have you done that, Kevin? That's where you take the underwear and then you put it like over a door handle or something like that so the person can't get away and sometimes is actually hanging above the ground?
Maybe.
There is also the Melvin. Do you guys know what the Melvin is?
No.
I'm not sure what that is.
The Melvin is a variant of the wedgie where the victim's underwear is pulled up from the front, which also can cause injury or at least severe pain to the victim's genitals. The female variant of a wedgie is called a Minerva, which I did not know.
I didn't know that either.
A Minerva. Have you ever given a wedgie to a girl, Kevin?
No, how dare you?
Lisa, have you ever been involved in a Minerva or a wedgie?
I've never been involved in a wedgie incident.
Okay.
It's the area of the men.
I think today is Lisa's day.
Can you do it with a thong?
So, hey, I'm just surprised you're even wearing a thong, Lisa, from what I know about you. So anyway, there it is, Kevin to be listeners. You insisted, you wanted it, you got it. It's the atomic wedgie story. So apparently that's what's happened. That's the first crazy, crazy death of 2014. Wow. Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin to be show, shall we?
Well, you have found my flabbergast button, and guess what? You've pressed it.
We have a world premiere on the show next hour from a little band that we like to call Neon Trees. Kevin, why do we like to call them that?
Oh, he's gone. He drove
home. Because that's their name. All right. Tyler Glenn is going to be here with their brand new song, which is called Sleeping with a Friend. That's next hour right here on the world famous K-Rock. Matt Bellany is going to be joining us. He works for The Hollywood Reporter. We'll be talking about lots of stuff in showbiz, including the Golden Globes preview for this Sunday night. We got a special first week of 2014 edition of What's Up with Florida on the program today. Actor Kellan Lutz is going to be here. He's Hercules in the new film, Don't You Know?
Yeah.
Also, comedian and actor Nick Kroll will be on the program today. And we got tickets for you to go see The Offspring, Bad Religion, and Linkin Park. They are playing tomorrow night, that charity show at musicforrelief.org. All of that, plus Ralph has the movie beat and the showbiz beat, too. That's next here on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Well, 10 is closed. I can't go to work.
Walks in 3 seconds after he hangs up the phone.
I was on the phone for a while.
Physics betrayed you, Kevin. There's no way you could have gotten here to the studio when I you were parked on the 10.
When I started talking to you, yeah, I was right out by Fairfax. When I started talking to you, I was in park on the 10.
You are a liar,
My
sir.
Car was in park.
And you lie.
And then they got the wreck off to the side of the road and opened it up, and I drove in.
Oh, how convenient.
So you're just happy to have me, I know. Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Shut up, Bean.
A lot of celebrities getting hurt, man.
Yeah, I know.
It's dangerous out there to be a celebrity. Not just Bean fainting and breaking 3 ribs. The biggest celebrity hurt story, of course. You all right, Bean? You okay?
Just got dizzy, lightheaded.
Yeah. Kat Dennings was seen at the People's Choice.
What happened to my cat?
Don't make that noise.
I love her. What happened to her?
But you can love her all you want. The noise is skeevy.
She looked perfectly healthy at the People's Choice Awards.
Did she?
Yes.
That big cast on her right hand made looked healthy to you?
Maybe I didn't see her.
Oh, maybe you didn't watch her on that show.
I only saw the 30 seconds with Britney. That's all I actually saw.
Well, then don't say she looked perfectly healthy.
She looked perfectly healthy.
You just lie. You just lie.
No, you know what?
She could have been in a full body cast. You wouldn't have known.
I saw all the promos throughout the day that she and her little co-star from the show were going to be hosting. And I guess it wasn't. Obviously, those weren't live. So I didn't see her actually that day. What happened to her?
She had a giant... looked like cast on her right hand. Actually, it was just a big, bulky bandage. After a quick trip to the emergency room, she cut her hand open while cooking over the weekend.
Ouch.
Listen, if you have cans like those, you don't need to cook. Get someone to do that for you. Get some ugly girl to cook for you.
Oh, God.
She shouldn't be cooking and putting herself in harm's way.
Not moving at all?
Yes, Lisa. They need to be put in bubble wrap. Protected. And then Anne Hathaway had a near-death experience. She got caught in a riptide in Hawaii.
Oh,
vacationing with her husband.
Those are scary as hell.
Photos in the Daily Mail and also on TMZ. You can see her get caught by the riptide and start screaming for help. You see her go under. Just her arms are sticking out of the water. Luckily, a surfer was nearby and helped extract her from the riptide. And then her husband is administering first aid to her on the beach. Looks like she cut her toe. So she's like, has her hand thrown over her forehead, and she's leaning back just in a very dramatic pose, and he's there cleansing her foot with it looks like hydrogen peroxide, and then he sucks on it, which can't be sanitary for anybody.
Wait, what?
He's
really?
Sucking on her toe on the beach.
Are you sure they weren't filming something?
I'm sure.
this is real
not
life.
A sex tape. This was real life.
Huh.
And a Band-Aid was applied, and apparently all is well.
So, huh.
No worries.
That isn't good for you.
And good news for Kevin.
Yes.
Mein Kampf is back on the top 10 book selection.
And that's good news for me. Why?
Yeah, because, you know, you guys share a lot in common, you and Hitler.
That's incorrect.
He is he's sort of a hit at the iTunes bookstore. In fact, you will see Hitler's face staring back at you if you look on that list. Out of the 3 and 4 spots, Mein Kampf, number 3 and 4 in the iTunes best-selling ebook list.
Why is that?
Well, there's people have several theories. Apparently, a journalist did an in-depth story about the book. A guy in Boston named Chris Farone, and it has renewed interest in what Hitler had to say in that book.
Okay.
And also they say it may be due to a phenomenon that they call the 50 Shades of Grey phenomenon, which is a lot of people would not be caught dead reading a book
with it in their hands on the subway or at the beach.
Right.
But they will go and get the e-book version because it's something they can hide easily on their Kindle or their laptop or whatever.
Has it just been made available for...
No, it's been available for a while, but apparently this article in a Boston newspaper rekindled interest in people. So, yeah, both iTunes and Amazon, on the e-book lists, it's selling like hotcakes. Physical edition hasn't been available since 1939, but you can get it on the e-book now, and you might find this surprising, but Jewish leaders are concerned.
Yeah, well.
I can see why they might be. Last time that book was popular, things didn't go so well for them.
I think they have a right to be nervous.
One Jewish leader said, "I did not see that coming."
No one said that.
No one said that.
Springtime for Hitler and Germany.
We had some good ideas, I think.
How dare you?
Hitler was on the party bus.
How dare you?
Tonight, 10 p.m., the Improv on Melrose in Hollywood, California. Kevin Smith and I are doing our patented Hollywood Babylon comedy program.
Yep.
Was that a yep?
Wow. Finally turned him around, it sounds like.
Sounds like they're actually coming.
Guys,
No.
Oh.
10 p.m. tonight, you can go to improv.com or Hollywood. No, don't go there. Go to csmod.com or babylonralph.com. Love to have you join us 10 p.m. tonight at the Improv on Melrose in Hollywood. We have a good time.
Well, good luck with that.
Thanks so much.
Oh, my God, no way.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Rod Stewart, 69 years old today. Boxer George Foreman is 65. Singer Pat Benatar. Woo! Pat Benatar? Hell's for children, man. You don't know.
I wouldn't mind if we had a little Pat Benatar going for the future show
either.
Business today. I'd enjoy that very
much. You're a heartbreaker, love taker, something else.
She had a lot of good songs.
Yeah. 61 years old today. Kurt Kirkwood of Meat Puppets is 55 years old today. Brad Roberts of Crash Test Dummies. I think we need a little...
Yeah, I don't think we need that.
Need a little of that today, too. He's 50. Actor Jermaine Clement of the, of course, Concords, Flight of the Concords, 40 years old today. Chris Smith of Criss Cross, make you want to...
Jump.
He's 35 years old. And our bestest buddy, Sarah Shahi.
Aww.
Shots with Shahi.
Is she the only guest that has come in and insisted on doing shots with us?
I believe she's the only one who put alcohol in her rider.
Yeah.
Of the contract with the Kevin Bean appearance.
She put alcohol in her rider, all right.
What does that even mean?
It's me.
Oh, you.
Yes.
You're the rider. Oh, I see. She is 34 years old today. Happy birthday, Sarah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
A little bit of a special treat for us here on this Friday morning Kevin and Bean Show. Tyler Glenn, singer for the band Neon Trees, is here. He's going to be joining us in a little less than 10 minutes from right now with a brand new song, brand new Neon Trees song. We'll world premiere for you here on K-Rock called Sleeping with a Friend with Tyler, the man who sang it. That's coming up first, though. Ralph is here. Time for the movie beat.
Okay, let's just go right into it.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Let's not play the intro. It's not important.
If you guys would just ignore it, no one would know.
In the world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah!
Sorry, just effing with you.
You should have turned around.
I should have, right?
Yeah.
I agree.
Now, when given that option,
turn around.
Turn the
That's what
F
I told
around.
Him.
All right.
A lot of good movies coming out this weekend. Well, a couple good movies. And Legend of Hercules. I'm kidding. That looks great. I kid. Let's talk about what's opening this weekend. Her, one of the most critically acclaimed movies of the year, gets released to more theaters this weekend. It opened up on Wednesday, but it's expanding to wider release today. Spike Jones directs. Joaquin Phoenix stars as a lonely writer who develops an unlikely relationship with his newly purchased operating system that's designed to meet his every need. Here's the thing about this new operating system for his computer. It has it's sentient. It has its own artificial intelligence. It can learn and grow and develop alongside you.
Bean's dream.
It is. It's Bean's dream woman. And it sounds like Scarlett Johansson. Oh. Which is a good thing to have coming out of your computer speakers. They fall in love in Her. Amy Adams plays Joaquin Phoenix's ex-wife, who's a little stunned by that relationship.
You don't want to be dropped for a computer.
Right.
Well, she dropped him.
Oh, okay.
And so he's on his own, and he falls in love with his operating system. Again, much like Bean. Here are some clips from the trailer of the wildly popular, at least with the critics so far, Her.
How long before you're ready to date?
What do you mean?
I saw in your emails that you'd gone through a breakup.
Well, you're kind of nosy.
So what was it like being married?
There's something that feels so good about sharing your life with somebody.
How do you share your life with somebody?
It's been a long time since I've been with somebody that I felt totally at ease with.
What's it like to be alive in that room right now?
I wish I could put my arms around you. I wish I could touch you.
How would you touch me?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Bow, bow.
I'm in.
Well, first I'd lick your hard drive. And I'd take your mouse and I'd rub it all over my mouse, if you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?
What about this Spike Jonze, by the way? What about him with the kind of movies that he's made?
They're always
good
interesting.
Question.
Always great.
They're always great.
Where the Wild Things Are and Adaptation. I mean, he's just one of those directors who always does super interesting work.
Yeah. Looks
Being John Malkovich, wasn't that him? I think that was him,
love
too.
That movie,
looks entertaining and interesting and original, which you don't get very often.
Yeah. True.
Good things. Also, expanding to wider release this weekend. First of all, let's talk about Legend of Hercules. Kellan Lutz stars as the mythical Greek hero.
Are we having later this morning?
Renny Harlin is the director. It is the classic story, betrayed by his stepfather, the king, and exiled into slavery. Hercules discovers that he's got a little more going for him than he originally thought, being, son of Zeus and all. He's got some powers, kick some ass. And the next thing you know, he's throwing gladiators around in big blocks and chains and stuff, and just kicking ass and taking names, just like Herc do. Here are some clips from the trailer of The Legend of Hercules.
I understand you're having some trouble with the arrangements we've made. You sail to Egypt tomorrow. I wish you endless victories in the battlefield, brother. Because if you return here, I will kill you.
Tomorrow, Hercules will be but a memory.
I will not stop until I've returned to the princess.
Hercules, you are the son of Zeus.
Embrace your father, and you will discover powers that you never imagined.
Hercules, hero of song and story, Hercules, winner of ancient glory.
A lot of strange explosions in that trailer.
Just that, it's a music.
Sounds like it might be loud enough for you, Kevin.
Yep. Oh, I love loud.
That's what I'm looking for.
And speaking of loud, Lone Survivor expands to wider release this weekend. Peter Berg is the director. Mark Wahlberg, Taylor Kitsch, Emil Hirsch. Great cast. Based on the true story of the failed mission in 2005 called Operation Red Wings, four members of SEAL Team 10 were tasked with the mission to capture or kill the notorious Taliban leader, Ahmad Shahid. And things did not go well for these guys. But as you can imagine, because they are Navy SEALs.
They all made it out?
Well, they don't all make it out.
Oh.
But they are.
Most of them made it out?
They don't go out without a fight, that's for sure. I'm guessing because the title is Lone Survivor, there's probably just one guy who gets out.
One guy. Spoiler alert, Ralph.
I'm just extrapolating from what I read on the poster. That's all I can tell you.
Why did they just have Brody surrender to the Iraqis? That's all they need to do. Just have him show up and say, hey, take me. Exile.
It's a different show. It's a TV show. Oh, man.
Back to you, Ralph.
Here's a clip from...
You don't like either of us, do you?
Not particularly. Here's a clip from the film Lone Survivor where the soldiers are discussing their options in battle.
It's feeling like a cursed op.
Not a cursed op. No curses. It's just Afghanistan. That's all.
The way I see it, we got three options. One, we let them go, hike up. Probably be found in less than an hour. Two, we tie them up, hike out, roll the dice. They'll probably be eaten by wolves or freeze to death. Three, we terminate the compromise.
We cannot do that.
Oh, yeah, you can. I say terminate the compromise. I'm going to beat my wolves.
That's
I like 2 and 3.
That's a crazy decision.
Hell, I like 1, 2.
For anyone to have to make.
I like 1, 2, and 3. What I don't like is 4, where the guy says we can't do that. I don't like option 4. I like the first 3 options are all good. This looks intense and devastating and exciting and everything you want in a war movie. So those are your picks for the weekend. Me, I think I'm going to go see Her.
Yeah, it looks good.
Because I want to get inside Bean's mind. I want to see what it's like to fall in love with a computer. I would enjoy that. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Hi, it's Lisa. So this Sunday, huge TV night, the Golden Globes. There's a True Detective that premieres, Girls episodes, the funniest show you're not watching, and of course, Downton Abbey. It's all a little overwhelming. But you know what? AT&T's UVerse TV app can help. The UVerse TV app lets you watch live TV on your smartphone, your tablet, or your computer. That's not all. You can also use it to watch shows on demand. And if you forget to set your DVR, with the AT&T UVerse TV app, you can manage your DVR from anywhere on any of your devices. Call now to see how you can get UVerse for the same great price for 2 years guaranteed. 1 year term and other charges apply. Sign up for UVerse at att.com/great TV. Visit an AT&T store or call 1-877-ONLY-ATT.
The Red Bull Sound Space in K-Rock. Kicking off the 2014 season, Local Sisters Haim at the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock on Wednesday, January 15th at 1 p.m., hosted by Stryker, conducting a Q&A with the members of the audience. The only way in is to win. Visit K-Rock.com. K-Rock.com. Also, catch the live webcast at 1 p.m. at K-Rock.com/soundspace. Haim, live at the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock Wednesday, January 15th at 1 p.m.
Free specialized phones are available to Californians who have difficulty hearing, seeing, moving, speaking, or remembering. No income requirements, no hidden fees. To apply for this state program, call 1-800-330-5100 or download an application, fill out the first section, ask your doctor to sign, then mail, fax, or email your form. You may be eligible for a free specialized phone. Visit californiaphones.org or call 1-800-330-5100.
Can't get the classes you need? Can't get into a CSU? Well, Fullerton College has got you covered. Fullerton College offers 18 transfer degrees that guarantee you admission into a CSU at junior status upon graduation. Fullerton College has classes starting Monday, January 27th at only $46 a unit. Classes in majors like psychology, education, business, sociology, and more are still available. Visit fullcall.edu. That's fullcoll.edu to complete a free application, view class schedules, and more. Save money and time. No need to repeat classes at a CSU. With Fullerton College, getting a college degree has never been easier.
Hello, nice to meet you. I'm your online radio banner. I'm right here hiding in your radio player. Yes, that's me. You're probably very excited to see me since I always have great promotions and deals for online radio listeners like you. So I guess, see you around?
Hi, I'm right here, in front of you. Probably under your screen where you're working right now. Just check out your radio player. Yes, that's me, your online radio exclusive offer. It's that easy. Get back to your radio banner now and click on me. I'm waiting.
Interesting items in music.
Every time you do that thing you do.
Remember the movie That Thing You Do with Tom Hanks and Liv Tyler? If you saw it, you'd know that the song itself was played over and over and over again. The song, That Thing You Do, was actually written and released as a single by the alt-rock band Fountains of Wayne, the guys who brought us Stacy's Mom.
What are you looking for? Money-saving discounts or maybe some great shopping deals? How about a date for this weekend? Sounds interesting, doesn't it? Now you can find it all here on your online radio station while listening to your favorite music. So stay tuned and enjoy.
I like free stuff, but as we all know, nothing is free in this world. That's why the best I can do is to save money on my shopping and purchases. Click on your radio banner now and take advantage of a variety of products available exclusively for radio listeners only.
A special treat, ladies and gentlemen, to have the singer and keyboardist from the band Neon Trees, Tyler Glenn.
Yeah, it's me.
In studio with us bright and early here on a Friday morning. We were just asking you as you sat down, Tyler, have you had any sleep? Because this is awfully early for someone in your line of work.
Literally barely. Yeah, we had a kind of an event last night, so it's okay. I still managed to look like I skinned Big Bird, and I look okay. Everything's good.
That is a jacket like that.
Yeah,
that is a crazy outfit. You do look like you're on your way to Yo Gabba Gabba or something.
Something like that. Or like a Dick Tracy, the movie reenactment or something.
Now, you've been kind of going up and down the West Coast, San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, Salt Lake, of course, near where you live. You've been doing a little bit of old school marketing for the new Neon Trees song and album. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we kind of just surprised our fans that we have music. So we were being really, really cryptic and vague, like all fans want from their favorite band. And I was in different cities and kind of just tweeting an undisclosed location to show up. They had to have an invite, and then I would walk in to the location and surprise them with a new song, and then we would go out and street team and paper the cities, and it was really, really fun to do that with like the core group of fans in each city.
And you did that last night here?
Yeah, we did it on Sunset, and we had two video camera guys with the big lights, and so it definitely looked like we were some sort of paparazzi TMZ exclusive.
Right.
And mm-hmm. This man started yelling at me at the top of his voice, thinking that I was ignoring my fans. Because there were about 60 of us walking down Sunset. And he was going on about how I was in the Illuminati and how...
You were in the Illuminati?
I'm in the Illuminati, how we should only serve God, and how, like, he doesn't care how much effing money I have, and I should definitely just, like, turn around and sign a few autographs. And we were all confused.
Now, how did this street person know who you were, Tyler, or was he one of your maniacs,
I think
maniacs,
he just assumed because I was the way I look.
stand out.
Yeah. So I think he just assumed with a big group of people and a couple cameramen that there was definitely something going on.
Yeah. Like you're a leader of a cult or something.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed that. I was happy that he took the time to to greet us.
How does this work with the Illuminati? Can you get me in? Like, do you have to sponsor me, or do I get lower gas prices? Can you do that? Oh, Scientology.
Yeah, I know.
Confusing. I want to ask you this, Tyler, because we live in an age where it's very difficult for bands to cut through. I mean, we've seen so many different kinds of campaigns that musical artists have had, like, you know, Beyonce unveiling her album with no notice, like David Bowie did last year. And then there are other people like, you know, Justin Timberlake, who come out and they do 800 different TV shows to get the word out before the record comes out. I mean, like, how do you even approach a marketing campaign in 2014 where you want to cut through the clutter and make people notice your release among all the others?
I think we're just realists, like, to know what kind of band we are and where we're at. And I don't think we try to, like, prove anything different. Like, we obviously couldn't do what Beyonce did and, like, move the needle.
Not in heels, you couldn't.
I don't know how many people could, though. I mean, that's...
exactly. She's one of a kind. Yeah. But I mean, that's why I did what I know. And, like, I was a 15-year-old. I grew up in Temecula, California. I loved punk bands, going to shows. And I loved street teaming and feeling a part of, like,
who did you street team for back when you were a teenager?
A band called Boy Hits Car. Remember them? From San Diego.
I know the name. I don't think I remember the music.
Yeah. Same. And Saves the Day, and I loved Social D and The Living End. So it was like those kind of bands. And I definitely felt like I was a part of something. So I think if anything, I don't know if these kids feel that way, but I think they do.
I bet they do.
All but that old dude.
All but that dude thinks I'm a cult leader.
Gratifying for you as a lifelong music fan to see people reacting to your songs that way and being passionate about your group. I mean, that just must be the most rewarding thing of anything you do.
Yeah, I definitely get on my bed smiling. So it's I just turned 30 and I'm pretty happy. So
wow, you look pretty good for 30.
I appreciate it.
He got like an hour of sleep. This is bogus.
Yeah.
This is the voice of Tyler Glenn here on the Kevin and Bean Show from the band Neon Trees, a band we've been playing here on K-Rock for what, like about 3 years or something?
Thank you guys so much.
You were great at the Weenie Roast, which I think may be the last time we saw you. You've got a new album coming out called Pop Psychology. It doesn't come out until April, but you are here today with a special treat for us, Tyler, and we're going to be playing for the first time ever this Sleeping With a Friend. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's a true story about sleeping with a friend.
Okay.
It's the sex song that I kind of know how to write because I don't know how to write an S&M-fueled Rihanna banger.
Right.
Because I don't think most people's sex lives are blurred lines or like that sort of
No, but you'd like to,
party.
You'd like to think that that could be you.
Yeah, it's a fantasy world.
It is, yeah.
For me, I'm more of a realist, so I'm this awkward kid standing in the corner asking too many questions. I'm basically Carrie Bradshaw, just asking way too many questions.
But you look
now. I'm gonna listen to this. I'm gonna listen to this lyric. But spoiler alert: did it work out for you sleeping with this friend? Was it a mistake or was it cool? Did
I mean,
it ruin
it's
the
not
friendship?
Happening now. So,
so
there you go. It's my, it's
so
my
not
plea
so good
to everyone else. Yeah,
but at least you hit that. All right, here we go. Brand new music on the Kevin and Bean Show. Tyler from Neon Trees is here. Let's hear "Sleeping with a Friend" on the world famous K Rock.
Sleeping with a Friend is the name of that. It is brand new Neon Trees. Tyler Glenn is in the studio with us talking about that new song and about the new CD that comes out in late April.
Yeah, April 22nd.
April 22nd. Yeah, yep. Called Pop Psychology. That song sounds great, by the way, Tyler. That's
Thank you, man.
We had a chance to hear it.
Do you like to listen? I'm sorry, Bina. Do you like to listen to your stuff on the radio?
I'm a vain idiot. Yeah.
Look, there's both kinds. There's some people who will literally throw their headphones off.
Yeah.
And that's weird to me.
No, I enjoy it. I was listening to it on the plane yesterday and probably lip syncing, and everyone was that like, was weird.
That guy is really
on something.
Yeah,
you can see Neon Trees on the TV next week. They got a bunch of appearances, including on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. Also, you're going to be doing the Today Show. You're going to be on the Tonight Show with Jay Leno, one of his final shows, by the way. You're one of his last musical guests ever before he steps down. And the new album coming out in April is going to be called Maniac. Is this this song's fairly representative of where you're at right now musically, the rest of the album?
Yeah, I think the whole record is it's kind of the biggest production wise we've ever done, and we have a wonderful female drummer, and she's gotten a lot of just like accolades and notice, and I think a lot of these songs feature that really big rhythmic side. I think this song's exclusively so. I think we set out to write a pop record that sounds like a band playing it, and it, mm-hmm. I think we did okay.
Do you think about doing it on stage?
Absolutely. That's my favorite thing to do, is because I'm kind of an awkward kid that dresses weird off stage, but I have an excuse to on stage.
On stage, it all makes
be
sense.
An entertainer, so it's fun. It's fun, yeah.
Well, thanks a lot for bringing us the new song. We really enjoyed it.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Neon Trees is the band. The song is available for purchase right now, by the way, on iTunes. If you can't live without it, it is called Sleeping with a Friend, and I know we'll be seeing you guys later on down the road in 2014. Thanks, Tyler.
Thanks, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
You sounded unsure about every word in that sentence.
Did I?
Yep.
You want to try it again?
Nope.
All right.
Matt Bellany, executive editor for The Hollywood Reporter, joins us right after the top of the hour. He's going to be previewing this weekend's Golden Globes. And just, you know, he's one of those guys who runs showbiz. So we'll just fire showbiz questions at him, find out how things are going. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's going on?
He runs showbiz?
That's my understanding, yes.
Okay. You may have been misinformed.
You got different paperwork than me.
I believe he reports on show business. I do not believe he runs it.
You run it. No, he reports on it.
Right, he's one of those movers and shakers in Hollywood. That's all I know.
He's just making up nonsense now.
Just need a vacation. This week's over, right? Breaking news. Justin Bieber's a dick.
Yeah!
That's an old story, Ralph.
Not according to TMZ.com. If you check out their website this morning. Fascinating account of Justin Bieber pelting his neighbor's house with eggs and the L.A. County Sheriff's being called to the scene while the eggs were still being thrown. This all happened Thursday night, according to the neighbor. Said he heard something banging against his house there in Calabasas. Late Thursday night, he stepped out onto his balcony, and when he looked down there, he saw America's sweetheart, Justin Bieber, throwing eggs at his house. Apparently, the two had altercations before, and there was some bad blood, so Bieber took it upon himself to throw eggs at the guy's house.
That is the international way of settling a dispute.
There is video, really kind of useless, but the audio is pretty intact. We're going to edit it up and then have it for you in the next segment, because it's some profane language really can't air. Yeah. Saying, hey, I see you. And then you hear Bieber's voice. It certainly sounds like him saying, F you! I got another one for you. And he starts throwing the eggs at the neighbor on the second floor balcony. The neighbor then instructs his 13-year-old daughter, who sounds terrified, to call 911 and report the event. Here's the thing, though.
And she went outside and beat his ass.
Sheriff's Department believes the house was pelted with no less than 20 eggs.
Right.
The damage seems to be over $400 in damage. That makes this felony.
Felony egging?
Felony. Let me see if
property
I can get the charge.
Property destruction or something?
Property damage, yeah. Felony.
That's crazy.
Property damage. So he is now being investigated for a felony. Which,
I hope he gets put in jail for that. And then people ask him what he's in there for. And he go, throwing eggs.
Yep.
Threw one too many eggs.
Who cares about Justin Bieber? Nobody cares about Bieber.
What a little asshole.
Yeah. What a dumb douchebag.
Can you imagine living in that neighborhood? You're in Calabasas. You're paying a nice piece of change for a house there. And you got to deal with this dick.
Yeah.
More celebrity perp news. Believe it or not, Flavor Flav's in trouble again. Yesterday morning, he was caught speeding and driving without a license on the way to his mother's funeral.
Oh. What? Was he late for a funeral?
I guess so. Oh. Police clocked him doing 79 in a 55-mile-per-hour zone and also found also found some pot in his car.
But
he was released with just an appearance ticket so he could get to the funeral. But
yeah, I was going to say, don't you just let him go at that point?
You can't really let him go. He's doing 80 practically in a 55 zone, yeah. And he's in possession. Okay, well, your mom died, so no laws apply to you, sir. Enjoy that giant clock around your neck.
I'll trade you the clock for your freedom.
I thought it was pretty cool, the cop, just to give him an appearance ticket. He's got to show up in court on January 28th to face the charges. By the way, it's just to keep your keeping track at home, if you're playing the Flava Flav suspended license game, which is from Milton Bradley, I believe they make it. 16 suspensions on his license so far, Flava Flav.
Wow.
There's one driver in America worse than Kevin, and his name is Flava Flav.
How dare you, sir?
Well, it's true. Today's celebrity birthdays. Sarah Shahi. How much do we love Sarah Shahi?
All.
Of course, now one of the stars of Persons of Interest. She's great on that show. 34 years old today. Rapper Chris Smith of the legendary Criss Cross. Make you wanna
jump, jump.
He's 35. Jermaine Clement of Flight of the Conchords is 40. Kirk Kirkwood of Meat Puppets is 55 years old. Singer Pat Benatar. Oh, man, back in the day. Patty B. She was the one right there.
Big crush?
Big crush. 61 years old today. George Foreman is 65. Singer Rod Stewart is 69. Did I ever tell you a story about Rod Stewart? He went to the ER. He had a stomach pump. Did I ever tell you that story?
Not true.
Did I ever tell you that story?
No. Go ahead.
Not true. Urban legend.
I was there.
You were there and you saw it.
I had a broken wrist.
Uh-huh.
And I was in the ER and they brought Rod Stewart in.
Right.
And it just looked like a fountain. He was just, his stomach was so upset.
You sure that wasn't Elton John? Because that's the other variation on that urban legend.
Did happen. Relax, Bean. We all have fun. We're all just having fun, man. We're all just having a good time. It's okay. Fact checker. You don't have to be there. It's all right. He's 69. And most importantly, Brad Roberts, lead singer of the Crash Test Dummies, is 70. Yeah.
That's what you do.
Sing just it, Brad.
Save money on lyrics.
Bring it, Brad. Yeah. Ah. The same noise Rod Stewart was making when they brought him into the ER, by the way. I'm Ralph Garnall at the Showbiz.
A couple of big things happening this weekend, including 10 o'clock this morning. Go to Coachella.com to buy your tickets to the festival. It's coming up in April, two big weekends. If you want to see Muse and Queens of the Stone Age and Lord and Outkast and Broken Bells and AFI and Arcade Fire and Beck, and the list just goes on and on and on. You can get those details at Coachella's website or at KRock.com. The other thing that's happening is this Sunday night, it's one of 8,000 award shows. But it's the one that's the most fun to watch, and it's the Golden Globes. And we thought we'd talk about that a little bit and other stuff going on in Hollywood with Matt Bellany, who joins us as the executive editor of The Hollywood Reporter. Hey,
guys.
Matt, how are you? Good
I'm
morning.
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Golden Globes. They have come back in a strong way over the past few years, haven't they? Didn't they used to be the joke of this town?
Oh, yeah. It was a total joke. You know, people would – the rumors were that you could wine and dine the Hollywood Foreign Press, which gives the award. There's only about 80 or 85 of them. So, you know, that
That's
was
shocking in itself. Oh, that was the old days. There's a lot more now?
No. That's the same amount.
Still 80 to 85 people,
can't
and that's all.
Wine and
yeah.
dine them?
Yeah. But they've taken a lot of measures to prevent that kind of stuff from happening. The nominations this year are actually really good. They have not all of them, but most of them are pretty good. And you know, there's no embarrassment. Like a couple years ago, they nominated Johnny Depp and Angelina Jolie as The Tourist, which was a total flop. And the knock
movie.
On them was that they were just trying to get big celebrities to come to the Golden Globes, but they don't really have to anymore. The ratings are really strong. The people like to go. It's a fun show. It's film and TV people, so
they have great.
Does the award only exist because the organization makes money off of the television show, man?
Well, it goes back. I mean, it goes back a long time to the 50s and 60s. They had this award show. But the fact that the ratings are so good for it, and it's the one award show really where film and TV people are on display in one place,
right.
that the ratings have really done well, and it continues to grow.
Is this the one where they sit in round tables and drink as well?
Yes. They also offer champagne during the show, which people do like.
Now, one of the reasons why a lot of people will tune in is because they have the perfect hosts in Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. Who doesn't love those girls?
Yeah, they really hit the sweet spot. I mean, you want your host to be a little snarky, a little mean, but you don't want it to be so mean where you kind of feel bad and you're not on board for it. And they really, last year, they really did a great job.
They did. And everybody always asks them, hey, would you do the Oscars? And they always say, no, they don't want to do the Oscars because that's not fun. The Golden Globes is fun to do, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've interviewed Tina Fey, and she says that there's so much pressure that goes along with the Oscars, and there's so much hoopla, and there's so many people to please that it's really not fun to do it. And the Globes, they, you know, she and Amy Poehler are friends. They can talk about what they're going to do and just kind of get up there and do it. There's no musical numbers. There's none of that nonsense. It's just fun.
And you can never win doing the Oscars.
No,
you
not seen that way.
Pick you apart.
Yeah, not these days. I mean, yeah. Maybe at one point in history you could do it, but you know, Seth MacFarlane got torn apart for.
And I liked him.
Yeah, he was funny.
Not everything, you know. But I liked him a lot.
Exactly. He at least tried some new stuff, yeah. But it wasn't the kind of humor that typically you see on the Oscars, so people went nuts. It's, yeah. You know, it's like he started launching F-bombs or something.
But that's one of the things about the Oscars that drives me a little crazy is how seriously they take themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is really like. Take it easy.
Yes. It is a very sincere organization that puts on the Oscars, and yeah. They take it very seriously. But, you know, to their credit, it's the most watched award show, and people who only watch one award show usually yeah. will just watch the Oscars.
Yeah. Right. Now, we know that an Oscar can really help your movie if it wins at the box office, and that's why they spend so much money to try to win these Oscars, and that's why they release so many of these movies in December, so they're fresh in the voters' minds. Does it help you to win a Golden Globe at all?
It actually does. I mean, the key thing about the Golden Globes is that the nominations are announced in mid-December, right before that key Christmas holiday movie-going season. So what the movie studios like to do is they like to put their Golden Globe movies in the theaters for the holidays, and hopefully they can get a big splash from the nominations, and that will carry them through and then build buzz for the Oscar nomination that will last all the way through March and April.
Do you like that they split at the Golden Globes the movies into two different categories, one for drama and one for comedy or musical, as opposed to the Oscars that just has one Best Picture category?
You know, I think it's kind of a joke at this point. I mean, if you look at the nominees for comedy musical, there's movies like Her and Inside Llewyn Davis and Nebraska, movies that really aren't even funny.
Llewyn is hilarious. What, are you kidding me?
I mean, there's some humor in them, but they are certainly not comedies by the traditional sense. So,
it seems to me like they need to do it for real, though, because if you make a comedy, you're giving up an Oscar. You're just saying, I'm not going to try and get an Oscar.
Yeah, it's very difficult for comedies to get Oscar nominations. But, you know, the studios, they nominate the movies themselves for the Golden Globes. They submit them in the categories, and they know that it's easier to get a nomination in that musical comedy category. So they push these movies that are borderline into that category in order to hopefully get them a nomination.
Right. And plus, if you're Her or Inside Llewyn Davis, you don't want to go up against 12 Years a Slave and Gravity. You don't have a shot, right?
Exactly. I mean, for better or worse, I wish it was, you know, just which movie is more enjoyable. But the movies that are considered, quote unquote, important have a much better shot at winning these awards.
Right. It is crazy, though, to go back to Kevin's point about how you can't win an Oscar doing a comedy. It is crazy because you look at the great actors in drama movies. None of them could do what Will Ferrell does in Anchorman. I mean, it's a completely different set of skills, but what Will does, I think, should still be recognized. I'm not saying necessarily for that particular movie, but I'm saying other people who do comedies, that's hard work, and that's difficult acting also.
Absolutely. And, you know, you actually see the opposite more often. You see people who are great at comedy who can cross over into drama. You know, look at someone like Will Forte, who's in Nebraska this year. Yeah. That's a straight dramatic role. That guy's known for SNL.
Yep. That's true.
If you were picking the winners in the drama and in the comedy or music categories, the movies that you would like to see win, who would you choose, Matt?
You know, I'm a pure entertainment guy, and the movie that really entertained me more than anything else for 90 minutes was Gravity this year. I mean, you sat down, you watched that thing, it was completely overwhelming in 3D, and an hour and a half later it was done, and you're like, wow, I didn't even look at my watch, I didn't want to check my phone. That was just a cool 90-minute movie, so probably I'd pick Gravity. I think it's going to be a tough one, though, for that one against 12 Years a Slave. I could see that winning.
Which is also brilliant. But-
yes.
But too long because the white guilt started getting to you.
No, it's like, really well done.
I didn't physically do this, but I feel bad because my people did. And I'm getting hit over the head with it. It was rough.
It's very brutal, but it's a great film.
It's too. A great film.
20 minutes in, I was seeing if there were any African Americans in the theater that I could buy popcorn for, just as some sort of a peace offering.
A detente.
All right. We got a lot more questions for our guest. Matt Bellany is here. He is executive editor with The Hollywood Reporter, talking about the Golden Globes, which, by the way, air this Sunday night. Red Carpet Pre-Show is at 4 on NBC, and then at 5 is when – hey, this is one of the ones that actually airs live, Matt. They're not tape delaying this to the West Coast?
No, it's nice. It's live.
Fantastic. More with our guests right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Matt Bellany, Show Business Insider, is an editor with The Hollywood Reporter. We're talking about the Golden Globes that air this Sunday night on NBC.
He's the executive editor.
Sorry.
He runs the
You know what? You know what else makes the Golden Globes rule, Matt, that I was just thinking about during the break there? Is, look, I know you can't make movies without sound mixing and editing and cinematography and all of those awards, but nobody cares about those. And that's what makes the Oscars so deadly dull, is we have to sit through all of those awards. They don't have any of that on the Golden Globes.
True. It's the equivalent of just playing the hits. They know what people like. They put it up there.
It's not fair to the other people, but it's also TV. So
it's also to make it entertaining. You know? Right. We talked a little bit about movies. Who do you see as big winners in the TV categories this weekend?
I'd be really surprised if it's not a big Breaking Bad night. I mean, after everything that show has had this year with the Emmy and 10 million people watching that finale and it just being such a huge success overall, I'd be very surprised if it didn't win.
I know you're not supposed to, but they do get that was a great run and a great end and farewell. They do get that nod.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think, and this is for this season. This is being judged for this season of Breaking Bad, which includes
genius.
That finale run. Yeah. That is four or five episodes that are just insane.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be the big winner.
A lot of times when you're sitting at home, you find yourself rooting against shows you like just because they've won so many times before. I mean, Modern Family comes to mind as being nominated for comedy again this year. I know that's won it a bunch of times already, and it just almost seems anticlimactic if it wins again. Which is kind of not fair because it's still a great show and maybe deserves it, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the kind of gleam is off Modern Family a little bit just because I think last year at the Globes, Girls took its thunder. And I could see Girls repeating this year.
You can.
I think so. It's the kind of show, consider this is a group of 80 journalists that votes for this. And that's the kind of show that appeals to that group. I could also see something like, Parks and Recreation or even Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which was a sort of surprise nomination. I could see they often will go for the new thing on the block.
Right.
It is funny that Girls comes back on HBO this Sunday night and people aren't going to be watching it because they're going to be watching the Golden Globes to see if Girls wins it a Golden Globe, which is kind of weird. What's that night like for you, I imagine you go to the parties, you hobnob, right?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that's nice about the Golden Globes are two things. First of all, it's film and TV, so it's like, all these celebrity animals are grazing at the same zoo at the same time.
Right.
But you also have all the parties are contained in one building. So the Beverly Hilton has, the Fox party will be out in the parking lot. The NBC party is on the roof. The Weinstein Company party is in the Trader Vic's space.
That's so different from most are all over town.
Yeah, most you have to go all over town and go to different places. But for the Globes, they're actually there. You can kind of stop into one, go to another. And that just makes it more fun.
Are the stars happy to see you when you work for The Hollywood Reporter, or do they can't wait to get away from you?
You know, the iPhone has really killed award shows and parties. No one does anything interesting at all. Ever.
Because they're afraid it'll get caught? Yeah,
and they have 10 publicists around them who are – their entire existence is to prevent that embarrassing photo from coming out or from the person from saying something that they shouldn't have
said. Okay, but having – So, but that has changed your interaction with them then?
A little bit. I'm not looking for that kind of a reporting, but I think just the general on edge of celebrities and the kind of unwillingness to do anything. It's like a work event. These are work events for everyone involved, me included. And it's, I wasn't around in the 80s and 90s in Hollywood, but I imagine then it was a very different scenario with these parties.
Does everybody pretty much know what you look like now?
Me?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's a serious question. And I'll tell you why in a second.
I don't know the answer to that. I would say that certain people in town know who I am, but probably not the stars. They don't, they consider press to be press.
Right.
And everybody is just this one amalgam of a face, and they give their time, and then they move on.
Here's why. Your name is going to be on the list for every single party, and I'm going to use it.
Yep.
I'm going to say, I'm Matt Bellany. It rhymes with Bellany. And I'll get right in, and then you'll show up, and they'll go, you're already inside. Sorry, dude.
All right. Well, listen, we're almost out of time. Golden Globes air this Sunday night at 5 on NBC. Lots of Hollywood Reporter coverage online, I imagine, right? HollywoodReporter.com, THR.com.
We'll be going nuts. A ton of stories.
And are you guys live blogging it or anything? Anything we want to mention?
We've got a live blog at THR.com. Our Twitter feed will be spouting off the winners. We've got all the reaction inside the parties, everything at THR.com.
By the way, live tweeting award shows are what Twitter was invented for, right?
Yeah, the snarkier the better.
Exactly. All right. Matt Bellany, thanks so much for coming in, man. Enjoyed it.
Thanks.
Couple of sexy beasts on the program later on today. Kellen Lutz, Hercules himself, will be here. And, well, Nick Kroll. Who can resist that dude, right? That's all coming up here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though,
Florida's our most penis-shaped state.
And that's why we ask, what's up with Florida?
You goddamn people of Florida! You retarded bunch of bastards!
Florida. Florida, Florida, what's up with Florida? You always have the craziest news. What's up with you? Florida, 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 what's up with Florida? Let's all find out what happened now in Florida.
We're not exaggerating, right, when we say that Florida is crazy.
I don't know how to put an accurate number on it. I would guess 80% of the wacky, bizarre, strange, drug-fueled stories comes out of Florida.
It certainly does
seem crazy.
That way. And we've been doing this feature for a year or so where we spotlight some of the crazy stories that have recently happened in Florida. But today's a little bit different. We're not really going to get into the stories as much. But we're going to spotlight the sheer number of crazy stories that come out of the Sunshine State. This article came out 2 days ago on January 8th, okay? So 1 week into 2014, let's see how many crazy stories had already occurred in the state of Florida in the first week of the year. And as you're listening to this, I want you to notice that this many stories don't happen for a year in California. This is 7 days in Florida. Number one, Florida man accused of attacking girlfriend with a banana. That's the first one. Number two, Breaking Bad contest winner. A man who had won a contest to watch the finale of the drug-fueled TV show Breaking Bad with the cast has been arrested on charges that he ran an underground synthetic marijuana distribution operation. He's been arrested on drug charges. That's number two. Number three, while dad shopped, mom gave birth in a Walmart parking lot.
Oh, what?
Number four, loose lion caught at Florida Animal Sanctuary. You know what doesn't happen in California or the other 49 states besides Florida? Lions get loose.
They're not chasing lions.
Number five, human foot found in shoe at Jupiter Island.
Oh. That's all.
Oh. Yep, just a foot. Number six, Florida man accused of using a tomahawk in an attempted 7-Eleven robbery. Never happens in Missouri. Don't see that happen in Iowa.
This is the first week. This is not a recap of last year.
Right. This is all in the first 7 days. Number seven, bear attack victim. That bear was trying to kill me, is the headline. Number eight, Palm Bay man charged for a sex act with family dog.
By the way, 100% of those stories come out of Florida.
I wish I hadn't seen that. Number 10, police search for man who pushed woman's head into Burger King toilet. That happened. 11, Florida man bites neighbor's ear off over a cigarette. Number 12, here's a recap of body parts found on Florida beaches in the first week of the year. A leg bone in Tequesta, a foot in Martin County, and a body washed ashore in Jupiter. All three of those in the first week of the year. Number 13, naked man causes disturbance in Lutz neighborhood, slaps officer in face. Number 14, naked Florida man hauled off from store. Man wearing only socks had entered a store. Number 15, North Miami Beach man fatally shot after fight over utensils breaks out at a baptism party.
Great.
At a baptism party.
Great.
Again, a recap of the history of the great state of Florida. No, this is all the first week of 2014. Number 16, spatula-wielding chicken thrower busted in Vero Beach.
It's my favorite.
I believe that spatula-wielding chicken thrower is playing Coachella on Sunday afternoon, by the way. You don't want to miss him. Number 17, fake cop flashes buttocks, asks for free IHOP meal. Again, don't see that in New York, don't see that in Pennsylvania, never happened in Texas, only in Florida. Number 18, dog missing for 2 years, found treading water 2 miles offshore.
Oh, my God.
What's happening to the pets in Florida? Number 19, Jacksonville man attacked and killed after argument about barbecue.
Wow.
Number 20. Now, here's a man you could respect, Kevin. He had this news story happen to him in the first week of 2014 in Florida. Man says he drank 5 gallons of vodka, lives to tell about it.
That's not. I don't think that's humanly possible.
No.
5 gallons, 427 shots he had.
There must have been a lot of reversal. If you don't know.
Number 21, witness claims family brawled at Chuck E. Cheese over prize tickets. Number 22, naked man treated after driving into Orange County Lake. Number 23, taser in eye, trumped Glock in armed Orlando confrontation.
Wait. A guy got tased in the eyeball?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
My God.
Yes. And finally, and again, 7 days in Florida, story number 24, decapitated sex toys prompt police probe, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my God.
Apparently, this is a guy who broke up with his girlfriend, and then she called the police to report that her ex had cut the heads off of her 3 dildo sex toys. So that, ladies and gentlemen, is how it rolls in the Sunshine State. That's why we ask, what's up with Florida?
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
Wow.
I think they actually use a guitar for that part.
You don't know, man.
I do know.
I don't think you
do. I've seen them. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
Hey, don't forget, tickets go on sale this morning at 10 a.m. to buy your way into Coachella. K-Rock all weekend long is going to be giving away passes for all 3 days, for weekend one or weekend two. You can get those details at krock.com. Nick Kroll joins us after the top of the hour. Kellen Lutz at 9. Right now, Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Before I get to the Showbiz Beat, real quick email regarding something we discussed yesterday about Bean's inability to open Kevin's Christmas gift because of packing peanuts.
Yeah, it's still sitting there. It's the 10th of January. It arrived, I believe, December 20th. 20th or something like that. And he won't open it because of the little packing peanuts.
He opened up the mailing box. Inside was the actual gift, but he can't get to that because there are packing peanuts there and he can't bring himself to get through those.
That's the line in the sand.
So far, everything you've said sounds reasonable. What is this emailer adding to the conversation?
That sounds reasonable to you so far?
Absolutely.
It is him.
Sarah in Indiana, one of our podcast listener, says, I taught special education for 8 years.
Yes.
And I am on snow day number 4 here in Indiana, so I'm listening to yesterday's podcast. Bean and his fear of a big mess regarding the packing peanuts relates back to his Asperger's. My kids that are on the autism spectrum have a lot of sensory issues and don't like messiness. Let him keep the gift, and with support and love, he will eventually be able to tackle the scary box.
F that. Send it back.
Love you guys, Sarah in Indiana. Sarah Jones writes, so thanks for listening, Sarah. But
Asperger's is a condition on the autistic spectrum which makes it difficult for a person to make connections with other people.
Yeah. We're more about tough love here on the Kevin and Bean Show, more
That's
than
correct.
Love and support. So
I
we
do.
Think Bean should lose his gift privileges, and
That's
then
right.
that'll teach him a lesson. Next time, he'll just open the effing box.
I do like to keep things tidy. That is true. I am a neat person.
Right, so but you understand that the two are not equal. That opening a gift and then cleaning up the little packing peanuts is not making your entire life untidy. It's just a little 20-second thing.
I told you my plan is to tackle it this weekend. I've just got to get a running start.
Your plan to be to mail it back to me.
That should be your plan.
When we come in Monday, I will be telling you how much I enjoy the thoughtful gift that you and your wife sent to me.
Bean's going to start tomorrow with one packing peanut. He's going to pick it out. He's going to move it into the trash. Well, first he'll put it in like a Ziploc bag and then hermetically seal it. Oh, and then he'll pass out. Yeah,
he'll pass out.
He'll never get to the rest of it.
Then he'll wake up and get one more.
All right, since we're talking about dicks, let's talk about Justin Bieber, who has been accused of felony vandalism. They're calling his attack on a neighbor's house vicious. A vicious egg attack it was, where Justin Bieber pelted the home with better than 20 eggs, according to authorities.
Can anything Why? Be vicious if it's with an egg?
A vicious egg attack, Kevin.
I mean, come on.
This all according to TMZ.com. Bieber, Thursday night, late, was seen, allegedly, by his neighbor, standing on his front lawn, pelting his home with eggs. Apparently, he and the neighbor have had previous run-ins, and a verbal dispute ensued. The guy was smart enough to whip out his cell phone and record some video. Video's on TMZ.com. It's kind of useless. You really can't see anything, but the audio is pretty spectacular. You hear the two of them screaming back and forth as the neighbor screams from his second-floor balcony down to the front lawn, and uses some expletives, you hear what, in my opinion, is clearly Justin Bieber's voice yelling back. Here is the censored audio.
Assault, you bitch! I see you! I f***ing see you! Hey, you asshole!
I got another one for you, actually!
Yeah, come right over here, you mother... Call the cops. Oh, no, that's real good, buddy. Yeah, you're a big man, aren't you?
Oh, my God.
You're a big man. Come back over here, you little bitch.
Hi, I'd like to place an assault.
That's his 13-year-old daughter there who calls 911 and placed as an assault.
Can you place an assault?
Like to place an assault? Yeah. Like an assault, thin crust, extra pepperoni. You have those banana peppers? You have those banana peppers? Yeah, throw some of those on there. I'd like to place an assault, please. That's a girl's had way too much delivery food. The cops were called, and now apparently authorities, the L.A. County Sheriff's Department, investigating into Bieber's participation in the event. But if found guilty, he could face charges that would be felony vandalism because the damage appears to be more than $400 worth, which is what makes it
felony. Could he be deported?
I was having this discussion with one of our listeners who was sending me an email saying that with a felony conviction...
Any felony?
I believe so. That was his position, was that with any felony, there could be action by the United States that could ask him to leave the country if he's
sweet.
A convicted felon.
But they would never
but
do
they would
it.
Never do it.
Let's just ask him to leave now just to get ahead of that.
Well, I think we've all asked him,
yeah.
And he just keeps saying no.
Not as much as we can. You know what? You're too young! To be smoking pot and, you know, pee-peeing in buckets and driving up and down the highway fast.
Good point.
Good point, Zach.
Good point, Zach.
Farrah Abraham, backdoor teen mom. She says that doing porn ruined her life.
What?
Yeah, apparently she thinks it was a mistake to make a porn movie. It made it hard to have friends and a private life. Really? You think getting naked and banging somebody in front of a camera would affect your private life in any way? That's shocking.
What?
But it's great for her daughter to look forward to reading about when
sure.
she gets older, right?
You know what? The whole time in this article, not once does she mention, yeah, and my daughter might actually get some blowback on this someday.
She doesn't care about that.
She really doesn't.
Wow.
She says, knowing my sex tape was out there for everyone in the world to see was overwhelming. I wanted to hide my face and not go out or pick up the phone. And we know, I know that's true because right after it was released, she was at the Spearmint Rhino signing autographs.
And by the way, Ralph.
And then she launched her own line of sex toys molded from her own vagina and anus. I can tell
she
was embarrassed. Come on!
She also calls it a sex tape as if someone broke into her vault
yeah.
and stole something that was private and never meant to be seen. I mean, she showed up and did it voluntarily on camera and got paid for it and signed a contract, and it was her idea, right?
Yes. Although she's still going with the sex tape story, by the way, that the sex
she
tape.
Is.
Yeah, she's still living that lie.
With a professional porn star, though.
My favorite
her
part
co-star.
My favorite part of the article she ends with, I'm more special than sex tapes.
Okay.
I've seen no proof.
You're barely good enough for porn.
That's true.
Let alone more special than.
That's very true.
You insult women who really are good at what they do in their profession of adult entertainment. Maybe she means special as in the, like the Special Olympics kind of way. Because that she might have a point there.
Yeah.
I was embarrassed. Stop it. Today's celebrity birthday, Sarah Shahi. We love her so much.
She's the best.
You can see her on Persons of Interest, of course, 34 years old today. Chris Smith of Criss Cross, make you want to jump. Jermaine Clement of the Flight of the Conchords is 40 years old today. Brad Roberts of Crash Test Dummies is 50.
That was a thing.
That was a thing. You remember the other one? Superman never made any money selling the world from
no.
Solomon Grundy.
I don't.
Love that song.
But I remember we played the hell out of it.
Yeah, we all did. Kurt Kirkwood of Meat Puppets is 55. George Foreman is 65. Rod Stewart turned 69 years old today. And one of the greats, Pat Benatar, 61 years old today.
Heaven was the best shot.
Oh, that's right.
Come on now.
You know what I mean by fire away, don't you?
Ralph, yeah.
Ralph sent, spent some private time with...
oh, man.
Yeah.
I ruined one of the covers of her albums. Yeah.
And the album itself.
And the album itself melted right through. It's like, it was like Alien. The acid came out and just burned right through. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kellen Lutz joins us 1 hour from right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is Hercules in the new film opening this week. And a lot of people don't realize the man who came in number two for that role is in with us right now. Nick Kroll joins us. Hey, Nick, how are you, man?
I'm good. I wouldn't show him a ding-dong, and so they wouldn't give me the part.
That's it. That's what it came down to?
That's what it came down to. It was down to that little clause in the contract.
That's rough.
Yeah.
But wasn't it painful for you to spend all that time in the gym to get that body and then have it all be wasted because you didn't get the role? You know what I mean?
Well, and I did a lot of gym work on the downstairs business as well to get it pumped up, and then at the last minute.
Well, I think you're going to be fine because you do have the Kroll Show coming back for a new season this Tuesday night at 10:30 on Comedy Central. You play so many characters and all of them are dicks. Why can you never play a character who's likable or nice?
That's not funny.
Why do I have to hate all of your characters, Nick?
Well, I guess they're just not fun to watch. Like, nice people don't, like, none of us want to date nice people. Like, why would we want to,
Nice is a bad word.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy. Oh, yeah, that means I'm not going to get sex.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, I'm not going on a second date with him.
Right.
So I think they're fun. You know, I find, like, very unself-aware people funny. And so a lot of my characters are kind of that way. They just don't really – they're not aware of who – like how they're coming across. And I just find a lot of humor in that.
Right.
That's a hilarious response.
We're all driven to those people. Like, we have the Armenian comedian, a guy that that comes on the show all the time. And his belief in his abilities – is at 1,000%.
Really?
His ability to deliver is a zero.
Yeah.
And that's him.
And
if you were to ask him, do you think your jokes are just mildly funny, he would laugh at you.
Yeah.
Like that kind of unself-awareness.
Yeah, because he's killing.
Awesome.
Because he's killing.
In his mind.
Yeah.
In his mind. Exactly.
Yeah, no, those are my favorite.
Love.
And that's Bobby Bottle Service, and that's For Beast for Beast.
Sure.
And exactly. Now, right as you sat down, you made reference to something that we were just talking about in the office yesterday, and that is this real-life Rich Kids show that looks like it's a parody of the bit that you do on the Kroll Show.
Yeah, it's crazy. We have a show called Rich Dicks, and it's me and my buddy John Daly. He plays Wendy Shawn, and I play Aspen Bruckenheimer. And there are a couple of rich dicks. And then all of a sudden, I started starting ads and billboards for a show called Rich Kids on E, and it's a reality show about a bunch of rich kids. And I was like, they just switched the D and the K and gave these guys a show. And I was like, it was crazy.
But Nick, isn't it difficult? I mean, it's almost getting to the point where it's difficult to parody some things because of reality TV. Those people really do exist and really do – these unaware, unself-aware people that you are making fun of exist and are on television in real life.
Yeah, it's really crazy to start to see, like, we have a character the crossover of worlds. Like, we have this one of the reality show characters that we've created is this guy, Dr. Armand, who is California's premier animal plastic surgeon.
Right.
And he, last year, we had a billboard up on Sunset that was an ad for his plastic surgery business. And it was like, the billboard was like, is your dog a total dog? And and Padma Lakshmi from Top Chef tweeted a picture of the billboard and was just like, only in L.A. And then, like, a couple days later, she posted a new thing. She was like, guys, this is a joke. It's actually for a new show. It's for the Chris Kattan show. but it was this weird crossover of worlds where one of the characters in the Dr. Armand world is this actress named Tess Broussard, who ended up, we were reading a magazine while we were shooting, is in like one of those like Life and Style magazines talking about a relationship that one of the Real Housewives husbands, how she had been on a date with him. And I was like, which, what? I don't know what we're doing here anymore.
Right.
Like,
right.
Are we in their world or are they in our world?
I think they're moving into your world of parody.
I do.
I mean, I think they're squeezing you out because there's going to come a point where you can't parody that.
I know. And it's, you know, the truth is also is that those reality shows, so many of them are in a way more scripted than our show is. Like, the beats are so produced and they have such clear directives. Like, Duck Dynasty is like, well, we got to go out and have some conflict today to resolve it by the end of the show, you know, and like, this is a pretty great Duck Dynasty.
That wasn't bad.
Right? Yeah.
That wasn't bad.
I didn't do the other stuff that I was
doing. It's fine. We'd rather you didn't.
Yeah.
This is the voice of Nick Kroll here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about Kroll's show, which returns this Tuesday night at 10:30 on Comedy Central. I don't know how it works in Hollywood, but it seems like all of you funny people are friends and you all hang out together all the time. Like, the people that you have, you know, your recurring friends like Fred Armisen and Hannibal and people like that. I mean, it just seems like it must be so much fun to be in that circle of funny people.
It really is. Like, people always, I guess, when they talk about, like, Hollywood or backstabbing or whatever, like, I just know from the comedy community, from when I started in New York in the early 2000s till now, it's a really highly collaborative world, and I feel like none of us can really do our shows without our friends. And so my show is like me and Jenny Slate, who I've known for a long time, John Daly, who I've known for a long time, Chelsea Peretti, who I've known for a long time, I don't know if I mentioned John Mulaney, who I went to college with. And these are the folks that are my partners in all these sketches. And then on top of that, it's like, you know, Craig Robinson loved the show and came in and did a bit.
He's awesome.
You know, Andy Daly came in and did and does bits on the show. I mean, it's like, and like Seth Rogen and I have become friendly, and he was like, I'm free for an afternoon while I'm shooting Neighbors. And I was like, we come in and do a publicity? But he's like, sure. Like, and then, you know, like, because I did like a tiny a live show for him. It's like, it's a give and take, but it's not, the coolest part is it doesn't feel like a favor system of like, you did this for me, now you got, I got.
You owe me.
You owe me. It's just like, oh, your show's funny. I would love to come in and pop in for a minute. And that's what they all say to me.
Sure.
It is funny because everybody goes on, you know, Paul F. Tompkins' show, and then everybody goes on Zach Galifianakis' show, and they just, everybody just kind of rotates between. And it's just, it seems like a super creative and collaborative way to live.
Yeah.
Do you have one friend
that
won't do the show because that friend really doesn't find it all that funny?
That's a great question. I think they, you know, I'm sure there have been people. Yeah, they didn't say that to me. There were, you know, there are creative ways. That's why we have representation.
Ah, I see. So they can say, oh, he's otherwise.
Yeah, Kevin's super busy this week. He's swamped with the show. He loves it. He's honored to be asked, and he would love to be considered for something down the line. But he's just got so much TV to catch up on.
Oh, you are good, Nick. That was very realistic.
Thank you.
All right. We have to take a very quick break. Kroll Show, Tuesday night at 10:30 on Comedy Central. Nick Kroll is here. We'll return after this on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Nick Kroll in studio with us here on the Kevin Bean Show. Comedian, actor, writer, executive producer. Kroll Show, Tuesday night, 10:30, Comedy Central. Do you have a podcast, by the way, Nick? It seems like that's missing from your repertoire.
I don't. I've thought about it, and then I was like, there's not enough things to say.
That's the way I feel.
more people should take that stance, by the way.
I like going on people's podcasts, but yeah.
But starting your own seems like a
Like another – it's like I love that there are so many places to put content out. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's like, oh, you got your Twitter and your Instagram and Tumblr and Facebook and the show and other people's projects. And I'm just like – there are times where I'm like, I don't have more. I feel like I'm being
– I'm tapped.
I'm tapped out. I'm tapped.
It's pretty exhausting. You mentioned something in an interview recently, Nick, that I did not know anything about. And that is that at one time you auditioned for Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
Now, is that a thing that everyone – I mean, everyone kind of coming up hopes to do one day? I mean, is that the when you're a little kid and you're interested in comedy, is that kind of the gold standard of where you hope to be?
I think so. I mean, I think we all like before I even knew I wanted to be a comedian, I just watched SNL constantly, and like, you know, my buddy Andrew and I would do like Wayne's World impressions and like go to talent shows and just say lines from Wayne's World. And I watch it every day after school. Like I watch it, I would drink like a 2-liter bottle of Coke, eat nacho cheese Doritos, and watch Wayne's World. And so, you know, eventually I got the opportunity to audition. Happened to be a year that was like 5 years ago. So it was like Sudeikis, Forte, Armisen, Seth Meyers, Sandberg were all there right in the middle of their
run. Not a lot
run.
Of openings right there.
Yeah, for like, oh, let's get another like 30-year-old white guy.
right.
I mean, as soon as Sandberg got on the show, I was like, ugh, bespectacled big-lipped Jew. Like, there's no way I'm getting on the show.
What is it like to try and get on the show? Like, and that's for Beast for Beast.
Sure.
And yeah, exactly. Now, right as you sat down, you made reference to something that we were just talking about in the office yesterday, and that is this real-life rich kids show that looks like it's a parody of the bit that you do on The Kroll Show.
Yeah, it's crazy. We have a show called Rich Dicks, and it's me and my buddy John Daly. He plays Wendy Shawn, and I play Aspen Bruckenheimer. you know, there are a couple of rich dicks. And then all of a sudden I started starting ads and billboards for a show called Rich Kids on E, and it's a reality show about a bunch of rich kids. And I was like, they just switched the D and the K and gave these guys a show. And I was like, it was crazy.
But Nick, isn't it difficult? I mean, it's almost getting to the point where it's difficult to parody some things because of reality TV. Those people really do exist and really do – these unaware, unself-aware people that you are making fun of exist and are on television in real life.
Yeah, it's really crazy to start to see, like, we have a character the crossover of worlds. Like, we have this one of the reality show characters that we created is this guy, Dr. Armand, who is California's premier animal plastic surgeon.
Right.
And he, last year, we had a billboard up on Sunset that was an ad for his plastic surgery business. And it was like, the billboard was like, is your dog a total dog? And and Padma Lakshmi from Top Chef tweeted a picture of the billboard and was just like, only in L.A. And then, like, a couple days later, she posted a new thing. She was like, guys, this is a joke. It's actually for a new show. It's for the Chris Kattan show. but it was this weird crossover of worlds where one of the characters in the Dr. Armand world is this actress named Tess Broussard, who ended up, we were reading a magazine while we were shooting, is in like one of those like Life and Style magazines talking about a relationship that she, like one of the Real Housewives husbands, how she had been on a date with him. And it was like, I don't know what we're doing here anymore.
Right.
Like,
right.
Are we in their world or are they in our world?
I think they're moving into your world of parody.
I do.
I mean, I think they're squeezing you out because there's going to come a point where you can't parody that.
I know. And it's, you know, the truth is also is that those reality shows, so many of them are in a way more scripted than our show is. Like the beats are so produced and they have such clear directives. Like Duck Dynasty's like, well, we got to go out and have some conflict today to resolve it by the end of the show, you know. And like, this is a pretty great Duck Dynasty.
That wasn't bad.
Right? Yeah.
That wasn't bad.
I didn't do the other stuff that I was doing.
That's fine. We'd rather you didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the voice of Nick Kroll here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about Kroll's show, which returns this Tuesday night at 10:30 on Comedy Central. I don't know how it works in Hollywood, but it seems like all of you funny people are friends and you all hang out together all the time. Like, the people that you have, you know, your recurring friends like Fred Armisen and Hannibal and people like that. I mean, it just seems like it must be so much fun to be in that circle of funny people.
It really is. Like, people always, I guess, when they talk about like Hollywood or backstabbing or whatever, like, I just know from the comedy community, from when I started in New York in the early 2000s till now, it's a really highly collaborative world. And I feel like none of us can really do our shows without our friends. And so my show is like me and Jenny Slate, who I've known for a long time, John Daly, who I've known for a long time, Chelsea Peretti, who I've known for a long time, I don't know if I mentioned John Mulaney, who I went to college with. And these are the folks that are my partners in all these sketches. And then on top of that, it's like, you know, Craig Robinson loved the show and came in and did a bit.
He's awesome.
You know, Andy Daly came in and did and does bits on the show. I mean, it's like, and like Seth Rogen and I had become friendly, and he was like, I'm free for an afternoon while I'm shooting Neighbors. And I was like, we come in and do publicity? But he's like, sure. Like, and then, you know, like, because I did like a tiny a live show for him. It's like, it's a give and take, but it's not, the coolest part is it doesn't feel like a favor system of like, you did this for me, now you got, you owe me. It's just like, oh, your show's funny, I would love to come in and pop in for a minute. And that's what they all say to me.
Sure.
It is funny because everybody,
because everybody goes on, you know, Paul F. Tompkins' show, and then everybody goes on Zach Galifianakis' show, and they just everybody just kind of rotates between. And it's just it seems like a super creative and collaborative way to live.
Yeah. Do you have one friend that won't do the show because that friend really doesn't find it all that funny?
That's a great question. I think they, you know, I'm sure there have been people. Yeah, they didn't say that to me. There were, you know, there are creative ways. That's why we have representation.
Ah, I see. So it's they like, can say, oh, he's otherwise.
Yeah, Kevin's super busy this week. He's swamped with the show. He loves it. He's honored to be asked, and he would love to be considered for something down the line. But he's just got so much TV to catch up on.
Oh, you are good, Nick. That was very realistic.
Thank you.
All right, we have to take a very quick break. Kroll Show, Tuesday night at 10:30 on Comedy Central. Nick Kroll is here. We'll return after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on camera. Nick Kroll in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Comedian, actor, writer, executive producer. Kroll Show, Tuesday night, 10:30, Comedy Central. Do you have a podcast, by the way, Nick? It seems like that's missing from your repertoire.
I don't. I've thought about it, and then I was like, there's not enough things to say.
That's the way I feel. More people should take that stance, by the way.
I like going on people's podcasts, but yeah.
But starting your own seems like a
It just seems
headache.
Like another – it's like I love that there are so many places to put content out. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's like, oh, you got your Twitter and your Instagram and Tumblr and Facebook and the show and other people's projects. And I'm just like – there are times where I'm like, I don't have more. I feel like I'm being
– I'm tapped.
I'm tapped out. I'm tapped.
It's pretty exhausting. You mentioned something in an interview recently, Nick, that I did not know anything about. And that is that at one time you auditioned for Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
Now, is that a thing that everyone – I mean, everyone kind of coming up? Hopes to do one day? I mean, is that the when you're a little kid and you're interested in comedy, is that kind of the gold standard of where you hope to be?
I think so. I mean, I think we all like – before I even knew I wanted to be a comedian, I just watched SNL constantly and like, you know, my buddy Andrew I would do like Wayne's World impressions and like go to talent shows and just say lines from Wayne's World. and I watched it every day after school. Like I watched it, I would drink like a 2-liter bottle of Coke, eat nacho cheese Doritos and watch Wayne's World. And so, you know, eventually I got the opportunity to audition. Happened to be a year that was like 5 years ago. So it was like Sudeikis, Forte, Armisen, Seth Meyers, Sandberg were all there right in the middle of their
run. Not a lot
run.
Of openings right there.
Yeah, for like, oh, let's get another like 30-year-old white guy.
right.
I mean, as soon as Sandberg got on the show, I was like, ugh, a bespectacled big-lipped Jew. Like, there's no way I'm getting on the show.
What is it like to try and get on the show? Like, what do you do?
Well, so the audition usually is – it was funny. The year I auditioned, my little group, you know, they bring in like 20 – I mean, it depends on the year, but the year I did, it was like 20 people came in and you go to 30 Rock and then they send you down in like groups of three. And in my little group of three, one of the other guys was Jordan Peele,
okay.
who was just finished at Mad TV and they were auditioning him for SNL. Obviously, he didn't get it. And both of us, it's worked out nicely. We both have our own shows on Comedy Central. But so I went in and I'm backstage. It's really nerve wracking. You've got like your characters ready to go or stand up or whatever it does. And I'd actually been working on my audition with my friend John Mulaney, who I do a lot of stuff with for – have been working with a long time. And he and I were sort of helping each other out with our auditions. And I go in
– I hate to interrupt, Nick, but what were you going in there with in your back pocket that you thought, if I can get this in front of Lorne Michaels, I'll probably get on the show because it's so awesome?
You know
– was it an impression or a bit or an idea or anything that you had to bring?
It was just a few characters. I mean, you know, looking back now, my audition was fine. It wasn't like, you know, I wouldn't have hired me. I didn't
but
have many
impressions.
But you
wouldn't have hated you either.
Yeah, no, and that's exactly what I did. I think I was just right mediocrely down the middle. But I had, let's see, my impressions were Jeff Goldblum, which he plays my dad on The League, and I know, and it's, you know, it's not.
Let's hear it.
It's, you know, very exciting. yeah. You need to see my Jeff Goldblum face to really sell it.
You got it. No, you nailed it.
And then I did like Holiday Connick Jr., which was Harry Connick Jr. only talking about the holidays. And that was no good. That was already a reach.
How long do you get? Well, first of all, do you audition in front of Lorne Michaels or in front of his people?
Well, so I went in, and basically you're backstage, and the stage manager comes and says, he's like, all right, you're going to look over at Lorne and the writers. You're going to say hello, and then you're going to look straight to camera, and then you start your auditioning. You just run it for like 5 or 6 minutes. And I was like, okay, great. So I go out there. I look over. I say hi to Lorne. And I'm about to start, and he's like, they're not here. And I'm like, who's not here? He's like, the writers are not here. And I was like, oh, are they outside talking about how awesome I am? And he was like, excuse me?
He didn't
and
find
I was
nothing.
Like, yeah, I was like, are they outside talking about how sweet I am? And he's like, no. And so I was like, oh, okay.
Your read right then, I'm in water over my head already?
Yeah, and then the stage manager came up and he's like, I'm so sorry, I got to bring you backstage. Mm. They were on a bathroom break.
So you had a false start.
Yes, I got iced.
Wow.
So I'm backstage now.
They called the timeout with 1 second to go before you kicked the field
exactly,
goal.
Exactly. Hurts. And it's already like a 60-yard field goal. You know what I mean? Into the wind. So I'm backstage now, and I'm getting ready to go out, and like one of the, like the like union grip guys is backstage, like eating a big Italian sub, and he's like, you gonna do John Lovitz? And I was like, no, I'm gonna do Lyle Lovitz. I'm gonna do a John Lovitz, Lyle Lovitz, love child.
And you're awfully mouthy for a guy who's just visiting, by the way, Nick.
And he goes, save it for the stage. And I'm like, I'm like, you asked me.
For the stage.
I'm like, you asked me.
Nobody there wanted you.
No.
Not even the stagehand.
I know.
That hurts.
So
when you get in front of the people, how do they ask you questions, or do you just get up there and just, do they say you have 5 minutes go? I'm so fascinated with how you get in.
Yeah, basically then I went back out, and it's like Lorne and the writers, like at the time Seth Meyers was the head writer and is until like this, you know, 2 weeks from now, and he was the one who basically had recommended for me to come in. So I knew, like, and I knew writers there. Like, I didn't feel luckily for me. I mean, I think there are people who go in and don't know anyone involved with the show. So I didn't feel like everyone was rooting against me.
But they were.
Okay. No, but it's, you know, it is this dark vortex. You're on, I think we did it, we didn't do it on the SNL stage because they were shooting Olympic stuff. We were on the Conan stage. But you're sort of like, you see a camera and then there's sort of darkness all around you. And then you just sort of start, you know, you do like 5 or 6 minutes and you finish your last character and, you know, you're like, okay, thank you. And everyone's like, thanks.
Do they laugh?
They were laughing. I mean, you know.
And then how does it work? Do they say, we'll get back to you, thanks for coming in, just like an audition? They say, you'll be hearing from our people?
Kind of, yeah. They're just like, thanks. And then you leave. And then all of everyone else, like everyone else's audition, we're all up in some, like, you know, holding room. And everyone's kind of shell-shocked. And you just sort of sit there. And then you leave. Luckily, I had friends auditioning with me. You know, like Jordan was there. Mulaney was there, who ended up writing on the show. TJ Miller was there. There were a bunch of guys, Liz Kukowski, a bunch of people who I know and have worked with. And so it was kind of, you know, it was like, okay.
But here's what's interesting. I mean, your life would be so different had you gotten on the show, but it doesn't mean it would have been better. And it doesn't mean it would have been as satisfying as what you're doing now, which is your own show on Comedy Central, right?
Yeah. It really is like, you know, the nice thing now is that as opposed to like 10 years ago, even it was like, you know, if you weren't on SNL, or a network show, or the one or two HBO comedies, like that was kind of it.
Right.
You were on the road doing stand-up, or you were at Second City or UCB, and you were doing live shows, and you were trying to hustle to get something. Now it's like, you know, like Pete Holmes has a podcast that he does, and it gets really popular, and he gets a show on TBS, or, you know.
Marin, same thing.
Yeah, Marin gets his show, or like I do sketches online or pop in on all of my friends' shows, and then I've got enough sketches online to Comedy Central be like, go do a show. Or, you know, there's so many, or like Chelsea Pretty goes and does her podcast, and then people follow her on Twitter and realize how funny she is, and she ends up on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I mean, there's so many different ways in, and like
right,
Key and
right.
Peele are example of like, these guys were both on Mad TV, it went away. You know, Jordan auditions for SNL, it doesn't happen. And all of a sudden, they've got a sketch show that is so funny
that is
awesome. So popular.
Yeah.
So I think that it's like the digital age and the expansion of like cable shows and networks doing comedy like IFC, Adult Swim, Comedy Central, FX, in addition to
kind
everything
of a golden
else,
age.
Yeah, I think there's so many different places to do stuff now.
And the last thing I'll say, because we're almost out of time here, and I'm so thank you for taking us through that audition, because I'm so interested in that, is Saturday Night Live is not a great fit for everybody, and sometimes it depends on what year you're there. I mean, look at Jay Mohr, who's one of the funniest people I've ever met in my life.
Yeah.
It didn't work out for him. Keckner was on that show for a year. It didn't work out for him.
Rob Riggle, Casey Wilson, Jenny Slate. These are all people who, you know, have done. Paul Britton, who's on my show this year. Like, I mean, I do enjoy hiring people who were on SNL.
Right.
and Michaela Watkins, who's on Trophy Wife. These are all so funny people, and it didn't work out for one reason or another there, but they go on to do so much. And
exactly.
And that's the coolest part.
Right now, little kids are out there going, I want to be in show business. One day, I hope to be on Nick Kroll. That's what I wanted. I'm going to be on the Kroll show. If I could just make it in front of Nick and get an audition, I'd be so happy.
I'm going to turn into such a monster.
the new season premiere, season two premieres this coming Tuesday night, January 14th at 10:30 on Comedy Central. It does look so, so funny, Nick. Always great to catch up with you, man. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 8:55.
Actor Kellan Lutz is here. He'll be joining us after 9 o'clock. He has to be so glad that I don't act anymore. Because all of these roles, the Hercules, the Expendables, the Tarzan, all these roles he's getting, I would have gotten.
Sure.
But I stepped aside.
Yeah, the guy who's afraid of packing peanuts.
Yeah,
that's you. You'd be out there kicking ass.
We'll find out what it's like to be Hercules in the new film opening everywhere this weekend with Kellan Lutz coming up after the top of the hour. First, though, wrap us here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday.
Speaking of Bean's struggle with packing peanuts, one of our listeners tweeted me that perhaps Bean should open the box and just let the packing peanuts remain on the floor so next time he falls, he won't break any ribs. Which I thought was a great idea. As a safety measure, Bean's home should be covered with styrofoam packing peanuts.
Bean does have 3 broken ribs right now.
Yes.
I do need to be wrapped in some sort of bubble tape or something.
Yep. It's ridiculous to say I'm accident prone.
Well, it is. I'm not. I'm the healthiest person you know.
You know what? No, that's just not true.
Justin Bieber making big news this morning. Details coming out about a vicious egg attack on his neighbor's house. Thursday evening, apparently, there was a neighbor in there in Calabasas where Bieber lives, and these two have had run-ins before, and Bieber took it upon himself to try to rationally and adultly settle their differences by...
As he's known to do.
Right. By sneaking up on his house and then pelting it with over 2 dozen eggs.
Guilty, 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 guilty.
The sheriffs were called out while the eggs were still flying, and the neighbor had the wherewithal to videotape the situation as it was happening.
I'm sorry. I guess I know that you're frustrated as hell if Bieber's your neighbor, but you call the sheriff if your house is getting egged?
Yeah,
that's what's happening?
Absolutely.
You don't run out and grab a hose or anything else? Just you call the sheriff.
I grab this hose right here and I call the sheriff. No, because I don't want him to be wet. I want him to be in jail.
Right.
That's what I want.
But he's throwing eggs. I wouldn't think that would put him in jail for any reason.
Well, he's currently being investigated for felony vandalism, which, convicted, he could serve jail time for.
All right.
So I think this guy in this particular case did the right thing.
But I'm glad.
Yeah. Here's the audio of the videotape the guy shot. You can hear the whole thing on TMZ.com. We had it edited out, of course, for language. But you hear the little tiny Canadian voice in the background. Sure sounds like Bieber to me.
The song, you bitch. I see you. I f***ing see you. Hey, you asshole!
I got another one for you, actually!
Yeah, come right over here, you mother. Call the cops. Call the cops. Come right over! Oh, no, that's real good, buddy. Yeah, you're a big man, aren't you?
Oh my god!
You're a big man! Come back over here, you little bitch!
Hi, I'd like to place an assault.
Place an assault, please?
Maybe a little more time with your daughter, sir.
Can I get extra blue cheese dressing with that assault?
I'm guessing
cops are looking into it, and if there is a God, then he'll be arrested for felony vandalism. Because I guess anything over $400 worth of damage is considered a felony count of vandalism.
Like
everything else, this charge won't stick, and he'll skate, I'm sure.
Can eggs ruin paint?
Sure.
Is that what they're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out why it would cost so much. It seems like you just hose it down off the wall and you'd be fine, but...
Boy, you guys just solve all your problems with hoses, don't you? That's all, I don't know. That's all you do know. Any problem, just go to the hose.
How many times have you called the sheriff? In your life?
In my life? Never.
Me either.
No.
I've never.
I'm just saying that's a weird thing. If your house is getting egged, I just don't know that I would go to that. I'm glad the guy did. I hope Bieber gets in trouble. But it just seems odd.
Kevin's all about an eye for an eye,
that's
man.
That's right.
An egg for an egg.
It's on at that point.
Yeah.
Now I roll, Ralph.
That's right.
Ask Hartman.
He's a dick.
This is weird. There's a new show that's going to be on Sci-Fi. It's going to be a competition show called Opposite Worlds. Just been announced. It's starting January the 21st. I'm going to have to check this out because I don't understand an effing thing about this. 14 people in the series will live in a house separated by two different worlds. One a future world, one a past world. In the middle of the house is a glass wall, which will allow the teams to watch each other's every move.
Oh, God.
I don't see how anybody wins there.
What?
I live in the future. Well, I live in the 20s. Well, we will watch you.
What?
We will call you on our space phone. What is this?
How does somebody win? Does somebody win?
Is it a competition?
Yeah,
like
it's a
game show?
Competition show.
Well, let's ask Seacrest. He's got to be behind it, right? It's got to be a glass box in Times Square or something, right?
What the hell is going on?
Shark Week host Luke Tipple will be the host of the show called Opposite World starting January the 21st. So
you let us know how that is.
I'm going to tune it in because I don't understand how anyone could win on that show. We're just living on two sides of a house in different times with a glass wall between us.
Do you think they give people the same task and they think they look to see who's able to perform it more quickly with what they have available in their century?
Or
I'm
trying to figure it out.
What part of I have no idea how this works is lost on you?
I'm just looking for something that makes sense.
I understand that. But who are you asking?
Just the guy
anyone
who's got it.
I have no idea how this show works. You're asking that guy?
Yes, I'm asking that guy. I'm asking that guy to take a leap and guess with me on what it could mean based on the description you gave us.
I've listened to both of your arguments. I honestly don't think it's possible to guess. I mean, I listened to what Ralph said.
How would you know from that description how anyone would play that game?
I could understand how Bean would want to know how it's played, but I don't think it's possible to even... It doesn't make sense.
If you wanted to know how that game was played, Kevin, who would you ask?
The guy who just told me he doesn't know anything about it.
Thank you, Kevin. In this room.
Open up a blog.
Exactly.
Well, we're going to have someone on from that show, and they're going to tell us. I want to know how Opposite Worlds works.
Was it Dancing with the Stars that we had on?
We talked to the producers of Dancing with the Stars, saying that show will never work. No one wants to see C-list celebrities dance against each other.
And we were right about that.
We were 100% right.
Yeah. So 20 seasons later.
Today's celebrity birthday, Sarah Shahi. She's just adorable and talented and fun and can drink. She's just the whole package right there.
She's the perfect woman. If she wasn't a killer, I'd really be in love with her.
Tragically for all of us, she has a great husband, too, named Steve Howe. He's a really nice guy. She's 34 years old today. Happy birthday, Sarah. She's probably in New York filming, so she's probably not listening. But I know she listens when she's in town.
Person of interest.
Chris Smith of Criss Cross. Make you wanna...
I used to love that song. Why? I don't know.
It's a great tune.
It is a great tune. It's just nonsense, though.
But it gets you on the dance floor.
Yeah.
It's sad now, though, knowing that the one guy's having a birthday today, the other guy's already dead.
Cross is dead, right?
Yeah, and they're how old? They're in their early 30s?
30s, maybe? Yeah.
Yeah.
Jermaine Clement of Flight of the Conchords fame is 40 years old today. George Foreman's 65. Rod Stewart is 69 years old today. And one of my OG crushes back in the day. She had the voice, she had the look, she had everything. She is Pat Benatar.
We are stars.
Remember this video?
No one can tell us where we're at.
Takes on that temp.
I don't remember you doing the dance like that.
She used to do this dance.
Both of us knowing.
Knowing what, Pat? Tell me.
Love is a battle.
Goddamn right it is. She spoke the truth then, and she speaks it now. Patty B is 61 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I understand you're having some trouble with the arrangements we've made. You sail to Egypt tomorrow. I wish you endless victories in the battlefield, brother. Because if you return here, I will kill you. Tomorrow, Hercules will be but a memory.
I will not stop until I've returned to the princess.
Hercules, you are the son of Zeus. Embrace your father, and you will discover powers that you never imagined.
A lot of explosions, I know that. I heard
a lot of people talking like this. I feel like I should be talking like this as well.
Hercules in theaters everywhere right now. Ladies and gentlemen, the man himself, Kellen Lutz, in studio with us here on the Kevin Bean Show. Hey, Kellen.
Hey. How are you guys?
You have a sword with you?
Yeah.
Came with a weapon?
Did
concerns
bring a sword.
Me?
That happened.
Yeah, it's my security blanket.
I don't think you need one. What's
the... Definitely not.
What's that about?
You know what? I've been doing all these interviews, and I've forgotten to bring my sword to every one of them just to show it off just in case.
Just
I love my
case.
Prop. And
sure.
So now the very last,
too,
last
you know?
Day of it. I finally
okay.
It.
All right. Well, well done. Well, Kellen, it's great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. You went to Chapman University, which is the college in Southern California that we have made the most fun of. It's practically a high school, right?
That's why it's amazing.
Why is that? We don't really know why. I think it's just the people that we know that went there we like to make fun of.
Oh. Brilliant.
That's
brilliant.
All. Did you graduate, Kellen?
No, I did not. I don't even
walk me through that process and how that went over with your folks.
That didn't go over very smoothly with my mother.
Yeah.
You know, I tried really hard in high school, and then I really wanted to give my mother a college degree because she was always there for me. And, you know, she'd help me with essays and, you know, help me be diligent with my homework and just remind me when stuff was due. And so I really studied really hard. School came quite easy, and I got accepted into Chapman University for chemical engineering and football. Now, during that summer, I spread my wings, moved to California right away, visited with my father, and then learned about this whole acting thing. And
you said, well, I'm sorry, what? I can do what and get
instead
paid
instead of
what?
Chemical engineering, yeah. I can be instead an actor?
Right. And then I could do a show like CSI and kill two birds with one stone. But my mother did not like me throwing away the full ride.
Well, I imagine.
Yeah.
At the time. But now does she look back and say...
Yeah, it only lasted for a quick year, maybe. Or,
right.
Until I started working and taking care of myself.
With a mom, a year can be a long time, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can.
Parents are looking out for their kids, and they know that show business is a very difficult career to get into and to sustain. Yourself. And I mean, let's face it, most people who come to California and decide to be actors don't end up making a living. So she was just looking out for you, wanted you to have something to fall back on, I guess.
Yeah, of course. I mean, my mother loves me and she's an amazing mother. I think the thing for me was that my heart didn't choose chemical engineering. I love it, but at the end of the day, you know, I was going off what she thought was good for me.
It was her decision.
And I respected her decision. And I think it's the hardest decision for any high schooler to choose what they want to do for the rest of their life, essentially at the age of 17 and 18, when you don't have the proper just understanding of what else is out there. Like,
right.
I wish I was able to take psychology or sociology, you know, anatomy even, just to learn more about myself. So she was fearful, but you know, she raised me well, and here I am.
You're
still alive.
So you did a lot of guest appearances on TV shows, on Summerland, 6 Feet Under, CSI, you mentioned Heroes. I mean, you were you know, a working actor out there showing up for auditions. When you showed up to audition for Twilight, was it just another audition? Did you have any idea what it could mean for your life?
Man, I did not want to audition for Twilight. Nothing against the movie or the franchise. I didn't know it was a book series.
I didn't want to audition for it.
I was just in Africa shooting 7 months in Africa, being away from my family, my dogs, playing a Marine, you know, shooting guns and driving Humvees. Had the best time over there. But once you wrap a picture and you come home, you know, my family was in Arizona. So as soon as I landed back in L.A., you know, my team, bless my agent's heart, you know, Ryan, he's like, hey, this is going to be huge. Audition for this character, Edward. I read the script as I had, like, my ticket booked to fly back to Arizona. It's a quick flight. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing this. Like, Edward, that's just not me.
Right.
I'm a more jovial, actor, I love doing roles that you get to smile in.
You don't see a sour puss all the time?
So I turned that down, and he's like, Kellen, listen to me. I'm like, Ryan, I just need to fill myself up again.
Right.
I've been away. You go to Africa for 7 months.
And your agent is like, I need my 15% of Twilight. Go to the audition.
Pretty much. But then he said, okay, what about Emmett? And I read the four lines that were in the script. I was like, this guy's cool. All right, if they can get me in before I go to the airport, I'll do it just for you because we're a team. So they called me in. I'm massive. You know, I was massive coming. I was 215 coming back from Africa. A lot of actors aren't that big or look that big. And I went to the audition, just wore it. I didn't care, honestly. Wore a wife beater, and there's all these actors doing push-ups in there trying to get big. Keep on going. And I went in there, said my four lines with the casting director. I was like, all right, well, I got to go. And she's like, what? And I'm like, I got to go catch my flight. She's like, oh. Okay.
She's probably not used to that.
Yeah, she wasn't used to that. I wasn't trying to be disrespectful or anything.
Right, you wanted to get home to your family.
Yeah,
that's all.
That was my priority.
You didn't know about the book series or anything.
No, you had no info. So then they call me. Ryan calls me, my agent, as soon as I left, saying that the director who's in Portland, Oregon, wants me to fly up there ASAP to audition in front of her. I'm like,
no one will let you go home.
Really?
I have warm clothes. I don't have cold clothes. So I switched my flight, went up there, did the audition. Same thing. Like, Catherine was amazing, and I really enjoyed her. But again, didn't know it was a book series. And, you know, I auditioned for her, and she's like, all right, you're my Emmett. And I'm like,
that's it?
What's that
And
mean?
You certainly, I mean, you get a role like that, and you're happy to be working. Again, you're an actor, but you certainly don't know it's going to be four movies worth, and you make you a household name. I mean, that's the last thing you expected out of that.
Yeah, again, definitely a blessing. I'm glad I didn't listen to myself there, and I'm glad I have a great team, because I had the best time on that movie, working with so many great directors, so many awesome cast members, and the best crews.
I
love my character.
You got a whole other family out of that Twilight experience with those kids that you guys all kind of grew up together. Now, we have a bunch of questions for Kellen Lutz. He's our guest here on the Kevin Bean Show about Hercules. But just let me ask you one more Twilight thing, and that is, you come into a room like this with a bunch of guys who were happy to see you, were delighted that you're here, but we're not trying to cut your hair off to take home and put in a locket around our necks because we're not, you know, ridiculous, crazy Twilight fans.
That was my plan. I just hadn't gotten to it.
Was that at its peak, was that a horrific thing to go through? I mean that sincerely. There is a point at which you don't want to be that famous or that popular, and I feel like Twilight would have been one of those projects where that could happen to a person.
I think it really paved the road for these upcoming franchises like The Hunger Games, and you have Divergent coming out soon. For me, it was never – you know, I think I kind of floated under the radar. I didn't say that much. I mean, my character was pretty well known from the books, and I read the books as soon as I got the part. But, you know, I think it was a bit more hectic for the top three. And for me, I'm a people person, so I think it's how you handle the situations. And if you shy away and you act more mysterious and unapproachable, then it heightens. And for me, I just welcomed it with open arms. I love giving hugs. I grew up in the Midwest and then Arizona, and it's something.
But you were able to go out and kind of live a fairly normal life during the run of those films?
The hardest thing was just the paparazzi being back in L.A. That's where you just feel like your space is being invaded.
Right.
And you have to, you know, try and not think about that.
That's when you started carrying a sword around.
That's why I have my sword.
All right. He is Hercules in theaters everywhere this weekend. Kellen Lutz is our guest on the Kevin Bean Show. A quick break. We'll come back with more right after this on K-Rock. Actor Kellen Lutz in studio with us here on the Kevin Bean Show. He is in The Legend of Hercules. He is Hercules, in fact, and it sounded like, right as we were breaking there, Kellen, that this is one of those roles that's kind of like a dream come true. Little boy wants to grow up and play a mythological character.
Doesn't everyone? I mean, for me, yes, definitely. Growing up, I just love mythology, and I love Hercules. He's kind of the original superhero, so it's definitely a blessing, and I'm very grateful.
When did you start filming this? Has it been a two-year project?
March. Well, I think like April 1st.
Of last year?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. Huh.
Yeah. I mean, I've never been a part of a movie like this that's already coming out 6 months later, and there's a lot of CGI. There's a lot of posts.
Yeah, no kidding. Tons of fighting?
Yeah. Yeah, every day. Every day was a fight. Learning a fight, shooting part of the fight, fighting with my horse because he did not like the rainwater, so he would just do circles. And
I read you got stepped on by a horse.
I got bucked off.
Bucked off.
And Zara, my amazing black stallion, almost landed on me, which wouldn't have been pretty.
No. What kind of injuries did you sustain?
Every day an injury.
Every day?
Every day. The ones that hurt the most were the horse riding ones, because you're riding in a skirt, and if you aren't an expert rider, you do this.
You had me at skirt.
Yeah. Sometimes your junk gets squashed, and it's not so pretty.
Now, you're filming in Bulgaria is where you make a movie like this, right?
Yeah.
What's that like just logistically, just living and working there for a number of months? What's that like?
It's Eastern Europe. I love traveling. It's one of the coolest things about what I get to do. And as an actor, it takes me all over the world, and you learn different cultures. I'm obsessed with Bulgaria.
You are?
It's my second home. And
really?
I've done two films there. But for me, it's just the people. The people are just so giving and so loving. And a lot of them don't have much, but they're always willing to serve and give. And the produce, everything's organic. So I've never had the most delicious salads, the chopska salad and the tomatoes, and the dollar goes a long way.
It sounds great. It's such a mystery to me. I've never been anywhere near there.
Bulgaria,
as well.
Right?
Yeah, but it's and they have the Black Sea, which is very much like Miami. Just quick little flight.
It's kind of south of Hawaii, right?
If only.
I'm not positive. No, Bulgaria is the one with Paris, Kevin. I'm pretty sure. I think that's what we're talking about. So you're Hercules, and you have to be in the best shape of your life ever. Is that also like half your time is spent acting, the other half is spent doing push-ups?
Yeah, that is a part of the contract. They said, look, you have to be in the best shape. No. We're shooting 3D, so the most important thing was not looking bloaty. For Twilight, it wasn't flattering having white makeup, but I didn't have to take my shirt off, so I could just get big. And I shot the last one for 7 months, so I was kind of in the gym to avoid some of the hassles outside of where we lived. But for me, for this one, it was just training and my diet. I adapted the paleo diet, which helped me just shrink up.
What is that?
It's like the caveman diet, so it's high proteins, it's gluten-free, dairy-free, processed sugar-free, which is like half of my diet anyways.
That's all of my diet.
I love candy.
Yeah, processed sugar is what I eat. That's 100%.
Yeah, so that kind of sucked for a little bit.
Yeah. Did it make you is there an emotional side effect of that? Does it make you cranky, depressed,
happy? The other way? Does it go the other way? What?
I don't think I could ever have been depressed while shooting Hercules. It's like every day I'm living my dream. I wish I could sleep in my clothes. I wish I never had to go to sleep. I wish
shot the sequel. Have we ever met an actor happier with being in a role than Kellan? This is amazing.
No, it is refreshing, but
it is refreshing.
Did you ever have a moment where you went, this whole thing is on my shoulders? And
no,
that's
you
a
know
little
what?
Scary or not?
Honestly, like, I know my team hates this and whatnot, but I'm so blessed. Look, I wasn't going this route. My life was going the college route, chemical engineering. Maybe would have tried out for the Navy SEALs. There's a lot of military in my family. And, for some reason, I'm a man of faith. And, God's using me, take me over here to do whatever. And I'm just listening. And, so whatever he's doing, I know that I can just give forth all of me to whatever I'm doing, whatever my heart chooses, and I'm just blessed to have done Hercules and fulfilled that dream.
You throw yourself into it, and you don't
and
let
how well it,
it
does, it doesn't really matter to me, because
do you
it's
get
already
updates?
A success.
We always wonder this, like this weekend, it's kicking off. Do you get updates from agents or people every screening?
I'm sure they'll let me know. I'm just proud of everyone's hard work, and I saw the movie, and I loved it, so... I'm just proud, and I hope everyone just sees it for what it is. It's a fun adventure, and it's a tale of Hercules. There's many of them, and we can always go into, hopefully for the sequel. I'd love to do this character for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Really?
And there's so many tales you could do, the 12 labors, and there's just it's a fun role, and I really felt connected.
It sounds like fun. In our remaining moments, Kellan, I have to ask, because you also have filmed Expendables 3 as well since Hercules. Now, that is – you talk about boyhood dream come true.
Yep.
You're standing around with whom on the set of that film?
sly most of the time, and then I'm the leader of the young Expendables. My character's named Smiley, and I don't really smile that much in the movie.
Of course.
But so my team consists of Victor Ortiz, the boxer champ, Ronda Rousey, UFC, who dominates, and a good buddy of mine, actor Glenn Powell. And then throughout the cast, it's just such an all-star cast, working with Wesley Snipes, Antonio Banderas, Dolph Lundgren, Randy Couture,
unbelievable,
Mel Gibson, Harrison Ford,
that's crazy.
Arnold, Jason Statham. I mean, that's a dream
there. But that's a whole different thing. Like, I imagine in that movie, I was asking you if you felt the pressure of carrying Hercules. In that movie, you're like, there's plenty of shoulders to go around here. Well, I don't have to carry this movie at all.
Well, no, I mean, the hardest thing for me was not to smile. My character is supposed to not smile. His name's Smiley, who doesn't smile.
Right.
And, you know, we're shooting. We're watching playback. I'm shooting guns with Sly right next to me, blowing stuff up.
That's the best.
Sly looks to me. He's like, are you smiling again? You know, it's supposed to be really tough. I'm like, oh, God,
Wesley Snipes has been a mystery to the public since he got out of jail. He almost got out of jail and went right to Expendables 3, but he hasn't sat down and done an interview or anything. What's his frame of mind like? How is he?
He's amazing. He is so humble now. I think, you know, when he went away, and we kind of poke fun with a lot of the characters to stuff that happens in their life.
Yeah, that's part of the fun of Expendables.
You'll see what we do with Snipes' character. But with him, he would come out with us, Young Guns. He had so much energy, but he was really friendly. Really, really friendly. And
it's ridiculous that we send people to jail for tax evasion, by the way. That's just my opinion. I think it's crazy that he spent 3 years in prison for that.
Instead
of making money to pay it back, you know? And one more. How about Mel Gibson? He's another guy that you never know what to believe. What's he like to work with?
You know what? He's a genius. Like, he has so high energy, and you could talk. He just wants to talk to everyone.
He does.
And for him, you know.
Like, you say one word, and then he just starts going?
Oh, my God. I asked him. I told him because I have a crucifixion scene in Hercules, and I was like, you know, I got to tell you, I really felt connected watching The Passion of the Christ. You know, thank you for making such a brilliant movie. And, you know, I just told him about that. And he's like, sit down. Let's talk. You know? Chatted about everything, and he would chat to anyone and everyone. He was always just wanting to learn about people, and just very really respectful, and just always smiling. Like, he was a really jovial guy.
It's weird to us that see things from the outside, you know, because we see his meltdown, we see the tape, and we see all the negative stuff, but we don't know any of these people in real life. We don't know a guy like that, a Mel Gibson, that would come up and talk to any of us.
Yeah, I think that's what sucks.
Without yelling at us.
That's what sucks about.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the impression you get.
Yeah, but that's all the media. That's all the gossip magazines.
Because that's the only thing that makes news. No one's ever going to print a story about Mel Gibson sitting down and having a pleasant conversation with somebody.
Well, why can't there be good tabloids about the charities that he's a part of, or, you know, how he gives back, how all of us give back? Like, it's really a shame that, you know, tabloids get picked up for the bad stuff, and people want to know what they're doing that's bad in their life so they feel better about theirs. Like, I just don't.
You don't get that whole culture.
World. I don't. No, that's why I stay away from it. Like, I don't judge people. I don't care what people think about me. You know, it's one of those things where, like, if we could just help each other out versus try and knock everyone down a peg to feel better about ourselves, it's very selfish the way that a lot of us live these days. And, you know, I just wish it wasn't so.
USA!
Come on. There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
USA!
There it is.
USA!
Go see Hercules in theaters everywhere this weekend. Kellen Lutz, super fun to meet you, man. I hope you'll come back and spend some time with us in the future.
Sorry we're getting so deep there, but I really appreciate
it. Just having a good time.
Yeah, thank you.
Come back for Expendables, though. We'd like
to
be back.
Yeah, I would love to.
Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:43.
Rob is here with the final Showbiz Beat of the Week here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Do you have the thing to give away here, Rob?
You have that thing?
I don't know what you're talking
the
about.
The deal.
At
do you have
all.
The thing?
I don't
the
have
thing?
The deal or the thing.
You have both. You have the thing and the deal. You got them both. Remember the thing we were going to give away earlier and we didn't? And then we still have it? We have to give away?
That's not on me. That's not my thing.
Yeah, it is you. It's on you.
No, it's
you're
not.
You're the only time left.
No, but we didn't discuss it with Ralph.
Then you do
Oh,
it.
They were supposed to cover that in the office as I asked them to.
Right.
Okay.
They didn't. That was a Dave the King of Mexico who just said, not my fault. So you know it's his fault automatically.
Do you just want me to do it real fast, Ralph?
Yeah, I don't know.
Music for Relief. That's the concert for the Philippines. It's going on at Club Nokia. It's going to be
tomorrow
night.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
We don't have a winner yet. Linkin Park, The Offspring, and Bad Religion raising money for a great cause. You can go to musicforrelief.org to buy your tickets, or you can win them right now at 1-800-520-1067. Since they dropped the ball in the office, let's make them answer caller 200. Caller 200 to win the tickets. Caller 2,000 to win the tickets.
Why are you punishing Chip?
Let's go with 2 million and make Dave answer.
There you go.
Now
boom.
You're talking about it.
Boom.
All right, there it is. Caller 20.
1-800-520-1067. Again, musicrelief.org to buy tickets. It's for a great cause, and it's a once-in-a-lifetime event. Linkin Park, Offspring, and Bad Religion together.
While you're talking about tickets and great causes, tonight at 10 p.m. at the Hollywood Improv, it's Hollywood Babylon, the return of Hollywood Babylon to the Improv on Melrose in Hollywood. No. Kevin Smith and I returning with Hollywood Babylon tonight at 10 p.m. Tickets are available at the Improv at improv.com. Or BabylonRalph.com or CSmod.com.
It's for a great cause.
Wait, what's the cause?
I want to buy some more Batman crap.
Really? More Batman crap? Yeah. What's coming out now?
Oh, just I can't keep up with it.
Remember, he just mentioned there are all action figures.
This year, just it's released. Like just a boon of Batman 66 merchandise. It's gone crazy. I can't keep up with my bank account or my space.
You got a rough life.
Come to the Improv tonight and help me, you know, either buy a new house or a toy. It's funny how well we do tonight.
Sure.
Yeah. Justin Bieber is a dick.
Yeah.
Having problems with his neighbor there in Calabasas. So what does he do? He starts lobbing eggs at the guy's house. TMZ.com has the video of the incident. The guy shot from his second story balcony. Started hearing pop, pop, pop against his house. Gets out on the balcony on the second floor. Sees Justin Bieber on his front lawn tossing eggs at his house, allegedly. And then Bieber starts winding up and shooting for him on the balcony. That's when the guy told his 13-year-old daughter to call the cops, and they showed up and are currently investigating Bieber for felony vandalism. Hope he gets the death penalty.
I think that does fall into the Terrorism Act.
I think so. Here is the audio of the videotapes you can find on TMZ.com of the guy screaming at Bieber, and a gentleman that sounds an awful lot like Justin Bieber is responding.
The song, you bitch! I see you! I f***ing see you! Hey, f*** you, asshole! I got another one for you, actually! Yeah, come right over here, you mother f***! Call the cops. Call the family. Come right over! Oh, no, that's real good, buddy! Yeah, you're a big f***ing man, aren't you?
Oh, my God.
You're a big f***ing man. Come back over here, you little bitch.
Hi, I'd like to place an assault.
You'd like to place an assault, please?
Sorry to laugh, but...
Where would you want to place it? By the way, the 13-year-old girl, as 13-year-old girls are wont to do, overreacting a little bit, I think, about the eggs being tossed at her house. Oh, my God! Like, yeah. Like she sees a mushroom cloud off in the distance.
But I think... her dad's kind of losing it.
Well,
and that's sort
of
her
history.
I know, but I'm saying that's probably where she gets her panic from. Is it sounds like dad's ready to really get in the
fight. I would have been like it too. I'd be like, come on back now, Justin Bieber.
And I also think if you're 13, it's inherently terrifying to be asked by your father to call the police. I mean, that's just not something you're comfortable doing.
I suppose. What dad should have said is, go outside and kick Justin Bieber's ass, won't you? And she could have. A 13-year-old girl could have easily done that.
He seems like a tool.
You know, Kevin, I know you don't care because they were popular a long time ago. But because of the Hollywood Babylon thing, we do a segment every week called the Tinseltown Stiffs, where we look at people who have passed away in show business and talk about their careers.
Right.
So because of that, I was looking through footage of the Everly Brothers, legendary pop rock country duo who... we're known for their amazing harmonies and the influence of the Beatles and Simon and Garfunkel and all these other bands. So I did some research, and I'm pulling some video and audio of them.
You found some egg throwing?
And I found some egg throwing. No, I didn't realize at the time, but they were the biggest music stars in the world at one point, okay? When they were doing what they're doing, one was 18, the other one was 20.
Which is Justin Bieber's age.
Which is the same age. But you know what they did? They, like, made good songs and toured. And then just
and they were adults
and then didn't spit on anybody or pee in a bucket or throw eggs at anybody.
Look at One Direction now.
Yeah, those guys seem like they're fine. They seem fine.
You'd think we'd hear more.
Why is this guy such an asshole?
I don't know. I think he just is. I think fame and money makes you more
of whatever you
of
are,
what
right?
you are.
Yeah.
And if you're a dick when you go into it,
so he was always a dick. Yeah. We just didn't know it. Well, I wish bad things for him.
I do too.
I'm sorry. I'm a little rattled. I can't get over this. I'm reading again this morning about the downfall of America. Did you see there's another lawsuit against McDonald's for hot coffee in the crotch?
No.
Yeah, another hot coffee in the crotch lawsuit.
Wasn't the first one absurd?
Yes. They're all absurd.
What happened with the first one?
I do not recall. I don't know.
Dean, do you remember?
I don't. I don't remember. I know it was in court for a long time, and it seems to me there was one verdict, and then it was appealed, and then maybe it was changed, but I don't remember. But who are these people who want to go to McDonald's and get coffee that isn't hot? That's what I don't understand.
Well, this woman is claiming that the lid was negligently attached to the cup, and that's what caused the coffee to come out of the cup into her lap.
Guys, don't you check the lid of every beverage you buy 100% of the time when it's handed to you?
Of course.
Because lids come off.
Right. Sometimes they do. And through no fault or negligence of the employee, sometimes just in the process of handing it across a counter or a drive-thru window, it shifts.
And more importantly, S happens. Sometimes lids aren't put on properly. Sometimes you drop your coffee in your lap. It sucks. I know. It hurts. Ouch. But you don't sue anybody over it because you spilled your coffee.
You know what you do? You say this.
That's hot.
And then you just drive on your way.
Yeah. And then you say, I better go change my pants.
Or not. Either way.
Or just I'll just leave my hot coffee pants on.
So how much is she suing? He or she suing for? I assume it's a she, by the way.
It is a she. No need to get there.
There really is no reason for that,
But it's an undisclosed amount, apparently. I don't think they have announced how much she's suing, but she's definitely suing McDonald's for negligent.
Why are you bad, America?
Negligent crotch homicide, I think. Suit is for. Just depresses me.
Well, it is ridiculous.
We need that thing that they have in some countries where if you sue and lose, you pay for both sides' fees.
Yeah, that would be good. Because that would make people think twice, right?
Right.
Yep.
And some sad news for those of you who are fans of Boardwalk Empire. They've announced yesterday that the upcoming fifth season on HBO will be its last. HBO programming head Michael Lombardo told reporters that were assembled for the Television Critics Association junket that they decided to wrap up the series and look forward to bringing it to a powerful and exciting conclusion.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I am too, but boy, that was a good show.
It's a good show.
Really well done. But I think more and more shows, especially who can have some say over whether when and how they leave, are trying to wrap things up because they feel it's more satisfying to come up with a conclusion than just to go off the air.
With a complete series.
Yeah. And in more TV news, Cameron Manheim has just been signed on to play Halle Berry's best friend in a new series about a female astronaut who returns from space and tries to reconnect with her family.
This is for all the fat girls!
I'm glad. I'm glad that Cameron Manheim was signed on because I was afraid there wouldn't be enough reasons for me not to watch the series extant that will feature Halle Berry as an astronaut who tries to reconnect with her family when she returns from space. I said, there's a lot for me to not watch there, but I don't know if it's enough. And then he said, what if we throw Cameron Manheim in the mix? I said, oh, yeah, now you got me.
That'll
not
seal the deal.
That'll help me a lot, so I appreciate that.
Boy, between this show and Sandra Bullock in Gravity, astronauts are getting suddenly hot.
A lot of female astronauts in the offing, I get the sense, with the success of Gravity. We're going to see a lot of that in the future.
Do any of them drive across country wearing a diaper?
That's the only female astronaut.
That's the only story I care about.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Sarah Shahi, who, by the way, tweeted to me that she is listening to the show this morning.
Oh, Sarah.
And she thanks us for all the birthday wishes we've
been giving
her.
Why isn't she listening to it in the studio with us doing shots for her birthday?
I'm sure she has a better way to celebrate her birthday than to be in the studio of the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah. She's probably shooting a Person of Interest.
No, because they shoot that in New York.
Yeah.
So she's listening to us. Maybe she's listening online. Maybe. I don't know. Regardless, we love her, and we wish her nothing but the happiest.
And she's 19 now, right?
She is 19 years old.
Can't be more than that.
She's just turned 19. Congratulations. Chris Smith of the band Criss Cross is 35 years old. You know, we've been playing music from all these guys celebrating birthdays all morning long. We didn't have any Flight of the Conchords. What were we thinking?
We didn't have any Flight of the Conchords.
Jermaine Clement celebrates his 40th birthday today. Brad Roberts, singer for the Crash Test Dummies, is 50 years old today.
Do I have to play that one?
You don't have to.
Wait, I don't have to?
No, I said you don't have to, and you did.
Excellent.
Rod Stewart is 69 years old today. Where's some Maggie May? We didn't have any Maggie May for Rod Stewart either today. the hell's wrong with us?
A lot.
We know what we do have. A little Pat Benatar. Wait a minute. How am I supposed to stop using sex as a weapon if love is a battlefield? You want me to go out in the battlefield unarmed? Plus,
I can't weigh in.
Why is hell for children? They didn't do anything wrong. Hell should be for adults.
Why are you yelling at Pat Benatar?
I don't know. I got to get her on the phone.
All right.
Is Don on the phone? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Brand new show on Monday morning. Of course, don't forget, tickets go on sale for Coachella in 6 minutes.
Uh-oh.
At 10 a.m. And then you can win your passes all weekend long here on K-Rock.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
So, another Friday is upon us.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Yeah!
Roll another one.
I'm speaking, of course, of the Hummer.
Just like the other one.
They never fail to disappoint.
This one seems to be about to quit.
All of these ideas are terrible.
I need another hit.
Let me ask you, for a guy like me, in high school, I was like a fat, short, little nerdy guy. So what would your character do to my self if I was in that show in high school?
Roll another one.
Respect these boobies.
Just like the other one.
Hurry up with my damn croissants.
This one seems to be about.
Whoops, you know what that means. It means our time is just about up.
I ain't ever coming back here again, you jive chump.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
Shut up when I'm talking to you! Shut up when I'm talking to you! Shut up!
Excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let's thank Michael Bay for joining us.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.